stupid we can do.
What's the worst that could happen?
Live from Sacramento. Overlooking the Cap City Freeway and the picturesque parking lot of the Doubletree. Perched atop the 93rd floor of the iHeartRadio Media Megaplex. It's the Dog and Show Show.
Ah, Shlomo, love a dig dog on a Tuesday.
Good morning, Sacramento.
Wow. Data, score it.
Yes.
Welcome back. Hopefully you had 3 days off like we did. It is a Tuesday. A bunch of Tuesday stuff to get to. Plus, we're going to give you details on the iHeart Music Festival that's coming up and all the details on how you can go and check it out in Vegas.
Yeah.
So that's going to come up all day today. We'll give you more talk on that. What else do we have to discuss today or do today?
Tuesday.
I mentioned Tuesday, didn't I?
Did you?
I did.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But it's going to be a big Tuesday, so more Tuesday news coming up.
Yeah.
And then, off the River Turntable, here's what we got today. Two choices, okay? First choice, for the Instagrammers and on Facebook, you got Get the Knack.
Ah.
My Sharona.
Yeah.
Okay? So you got that song, or you've got Rick Springfield. Oh, Noah Drake from the old General Hospital.
Was he?
Yeah, that's Noah Drake.
I forgot about that.
So here's the songs you have off of this record. Love Is All Right Tonight, the big hit smash, Jesse's Girl, and the Sammy Hagar remake, I've Done Everything for You. So you got three Ricky Springfields, or you got one My Sharona, Get the Knack. What is it you want to hear on this fine after Presidential Day Tuesday?
I had no idea until I joined that 80s station way, way back in the day that Rick Springfield was such a swooner of women and how he would play with, like, the rose with his guitar. I mean, I never knew nothing about him.
And it wasn't that he was Rick Springfield that brought the women in. It's because he was Noah Drake.
Oh.
And I forget the guy's name. What was the guy? Jack Wagner. Now, see, you can tease me, but here's the thing.
I remember a Jack Wagner on the... on the syndicate scene of daytime TV.
Well, he wasn't a syndicate or anything. He was just on one show.
Oh, I thought he was on a couple. It seems like that name's pretty familiar to me.
No. Who Jack Wagner is, and if people want to tease me, you can. But every kid, when you got home from school, would catch their mom, if in fact their mom stayed home, watching General Hospital, and you had Luke and Laura. It's General Hospital.
You say that, but I think it was Days of Our Lives.
This is way before that, though. This was the show and the soap opera that kicked off the Patch and Hope and Bo and Hope. And
General Hospital was on before Days?
Well, it came on earlier one.
Oh, in the day.
And it was the first one to have real good drama and big stuff. Luke and Laura, far before Bo and Hope.
You can say that.
My point.
I don't know, so I can't speak on it.
So Jack Wagner, what he did, and Jack Wagner, he used to date Heather Locklear, and I forget what his name. His name was something Frisco or something on the show, but what he did is he got jealous because Rick Springfield became Noah Drake. So when Jack Wagner got on General Hospital, he's like, well, I'm just an actor. So what he tried to do is he tried to leave General Hospital and start a singing career.
No way.
And he had one song that was on the radio. The only reason they played it is because he was Jack Wagner from General Hospital, not because it was a good song, and it floundered. And he was lucky, though, because he did hook up with Heather Locklear for a number of years.
Is Jack Wagner someone in real life's name, too? Because that
Jack Wagner is his name.
That's the only thing he did was General Hospital.
I mean, he acted and did some stuff. He popped around here and there. But, yeah, his big claim to fame was General Hospital, and he had one top 40 hit that lasted about 8 minutes. And what that
well,
is...
work for him, because I know his name.
The 8 minutes is a combined... American Airplay, because the song was only 2 minutes. That means only four people played it, and then it vanished.
And one time each.
Yeah. So what do you want to hear today? Hopefully you got the Instagram or Facebook alerts. We got Rick Springfield or Get the Knack.
So on both Facebook and Instagram, we're getting called out for the tips jar. Timothy Blair.
I don't think Dana's mic's working.
Oh,
is Dana's mic? Yeah, it is.
Mm-mm.
Keep going, Dana.
Good morning.
No.
Yeah, it's on.
No.
Keep going, Dana.
Are you sure? The tips jar, hello.
No, it's not on. Here, use mine, Dane.
Okay.
Well, what the hell?
So both Timothy and I can't remember, I think the original Hailstone on Instagram are saying that the tips jar is hungry because we're late.
No. Here's what happens is every now and again, commercials and songs will run just a bit over. We were all on time and in the building today at 4:45. Joe walking in at 4:45, like 18 seconds before he had to add a dollar. But all of us were on time.
Good job, Joe.
Yes, with the on-air time and you're watching all that, sometimes commercials, promotions, and songs will push us a little bit late, but no, we were here.
Right.
Yeah, so we're not putting money in the tip jar if we're late for the show time.
I love what they're trying to do to us, though.
Yeah. Nice try.
Yeah.
What else?
Okay, so Facebook wants my Sharona by a landslide.
Really?
Yeah. And then here, you can take this, Joe.
Okay. And what's on Instagram?
On Instagram, we got...
Hey, Dana, Joe, swing down and make sure you show the Facebook people Dana's boots. Yeah. I told Dana she looks like Mary Tyler Moore today.
They're cool, huh?
And then he asked me, do you know who that is? And I said, I think it's somebody. Oh, no, never mind. I don't know who it is.
Dana doesn't know who Mary Tyler Moore is.
And then it looks like either Jesse's girl or My Sharona on Instagram.
All right, so should we do the My Sharona?
Yeah.
All right, then we'll bring the Rick Springfield back in tomorrow. So... okay, that's what we'll do, Joe, anytime you're ready.
I just want you to know that we should really, really appreciate the work Dana does for us, because this is hard as hell to read these things as you're moving through and doing this.
I just look like to see what's going.
Good job.
That's it.
All right, Joe, anytime you're ready.
You ready? All right. 93.7, The River.
Time for another exciting edition of What's Your Deal?
What's your deal?
Welcome back on a Tuesday. It is the Dog and Joe Show. Anything and all you want to say, discuss, share, advice, you want it, you need it, anything, please jump on this crisp and cool Tuesday morning, 766-9370. This deal, we're going to start out just kind of like we did in the office, and we weren't rehearsing this, but we discussed this because Dana asked the question. Ask the question.
So over the weekend, I was told, and I want to know if this is true.
And hang on, let me just back up, because people on air don't know this, but Dana had to go to a bachelorette party over the weekend because her best friend got married.
Yeah, Friday, Saturday, bachelorette party, Sunday, wedding.
And I offered to offer up cheap bachelorette entertainment, and Dana told me that, no, they didn't need my services.
Nope.
And I told Dana, well, you don't know about my services then, do you? And they declined.
No, and we had a fine waiter at Topgolf named De La Cruz.
Well.
And we kept making sexual advances towards him, and he was playing game, but he never did take his pants off for us, unfortunately.
Oh, okay. So,
we were trying.
We'll get back to the deal, and I think maybe this is a part two conversation later on.
It possibly could, because now we've got a named employee who's a dancer for Dana.
Well, no. He would kind of dance, but he didn't take his clothes off.
No, clothes off.
Dana's not a stripper.
Dana confusing Topgolf for showgirls.
We don't know. We've not been there for a while. Maybe they've changed things up a little bit.
And she said, did she not say that they were accosting him in some form because he was turning down their sexual advances?
Yeah. She said he was going to accept for a while, but then it sounded as if it got to be too much for him.
Yes, he did drop quite a few times, and we were very upset about this. He kept saying, my girlfriend. Stop talking about your girlfriend. Nobody here wants to hear about your girlfriend.
Christ, you scared him.
Yeah, but listen to this. If I were on the radio right now talking the way Dana was talking, you and her both would be calling me a chauvinistic swine of a sow of a pig of a hog, but she can go on and say that they were molesting a man at Topgolf.
We were not molesting him.
And wanting him to undress. Me three.
You're the one adding the words.
I'm starting me three.
You're adding those words to it. She didn't say it. She said accosting.
No, she did not say accosting.
No,
I said accosting.
He called it accosting.
She said sexual.
So now you've invented two words. Now you said accosting and molesting. Neither word that she said.
She said, though, that they were making sexual advances.
In my defense, there's only three of us that were straight women there.
That is true. She did say she was going to a thing with a bunch of lesbian ladies.
Okay, either way, Joe, Joe can't answer this. Dana, would you want gay women attacking you?
No.
I can answer that.
Or would you want gay men attacking you?
Me?
Yeah.
I don't care about gay men.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yep.
I don't want to be attacked by anyone.
See, that's my point.
No, we had a lot of fun with him, actually. Like, he was very cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Now Dana's going to downplay it. Oh, yeah. It was all good fun. Yeah. Yeah. So chicks can go up.
No, he was really cool about it.
They could catcall. They could ask the man to undress. They're at Top Golf, by the way. There's not a strip club. They're not at some cabana club down by the pool in Vegas. They're wanting this guy to get naked.
Choked up over there. They're crying out loud.
Well, I can't believe how openly she talks about it.
Here's the thing. She didn't say anything like that. You have invented all this inside your... She said nothing about it. All she said was he didn't take his pants off.
She said they were making sexual advances toward him.
I never heard that.
Dana, did you say that?
I think I did describe it that way.
Yes, you did. Sexual advance is what, Dana?
We did not touch him in any way. That's we just asked him if he would dance for us.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So that's not pervy.
No, not at all.
No, that's not creepy if women do it. See, I wanted you to hire me for the help, but then you've got Dela Cruz over there, some poor kid that's got a girlfriend.
Oh, Dela Cruz. He was amazing.
Dela Cruz.
You haven't seen me dance.
And the people in the booth...
don't want to.
The people in the booth next to us hated us.
Oh, did they? Because you guys were rowdy.
Loud, yeah, we were a little rowdy. We were all the way at the end, though, so...
Yeah.
Was it cold?
It was not too cold. They have this awesome dome heater. It has these heat lamps, like four little bulbs, and it is really warm.
Yeah, because it was chilly really that warm. Night.
Heck yes, it was.
Okay, so you're out at Top Golf. Mm-hmm. You're assaulting the male staff.
No.
And then...
We were propositioning him, but he didn't, you know...
He didn't play ball.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Propositioning.
And then... Technically, I mean, nothing wrong with propositioning.
Using all these words. Say the same thing again. I don't know what you said. He's dogs invented six words. You're saying a different word.
I'm just going back on what Dana said.
The big words.
Sexual advances, propositioning, all things guys can't do toward women in 2019. So
all things no one can do towards anyone.
Dana's out at Top Golf, mm-hmm. and the question came up. What? This is the deal now.
So apparently when you get divorced, you can put your wedding ring on the opposite hand. So you put it on the right hand.
Whoa, what's this? You can still wear your wedding ring?
Yes. So I want to know if this is true because I heard it from somebody and I just wanted to fact check it. But this is what I heard.
Okay. And the conversation in the office goes like this because Joe is wearing a silicone ring on his right hand. Mm-hmm. And I told Joe.
His ring finger.
That's right. Yeah. On his ring finger on the right hand, not the left hand.
I've also got another ring on my left hand, too. But I'm starting to accessorize ring wise right now.
Yeah, but that's not on your wedding finger.
No.
Nope.
Okay. So, for sake of confusing you completely, on Joe's right hand, he's wearing a ring finger, mm-hmm. and Dana tells me this question that people were talking about is, if you divorce, can you wear it on your right hand? And I said, if you're looking for same-sex relationships or you're gay, because gay people wear the wedding band on the right hand, and I said, Dana, look at Joe's hand. And we had a hoot and fell about the place, but typically, gay men or lesbian women wear their wedding rings on the right finger. That's how it always works. And I don't think that you and Joe believe me.
I don't believe you. Because the right finger belonged to ring-wearing hands far before it was used for gay or lesbian marriage.
Yeah, but what are you going back to? A different country and queens and kings?
Absolutely not. I'm going back to the early 80s or whenever we gay and lesbian people started getting married. Before they started putting a wedding ring on that finger, people used it as an accessory finger. As an accessorizer finger. It wasn't used as if you put a ring on your right wedding hand.
To go back to the 80s, always, if you were gay, at least from where I grew up or what we knew, if you were going to pierce your ear and you're a guy, you would only pierce your left ear. If you were gay, you would pierce your right ear.
Okay. I don't think people do this stuff anymore, though.
No, they haven't done that for a long time, but that one there is true.
And wedding rings always... 80s, 90s, if you were gay, went on the right finger, at least on the West Coast. That's how we've done
that it. That was probably, I think, everywhere. But what I'm saying is, before 80s and 90s...
So now you're going back to the 70s, because before you said the 80s.
That's really when accessorizing began.
What do you mean? You don't think the cocaine dealers and the mob wore rings?
I think in the 70s is really when the fly accessorizing came. And I think that finger belongs to anybody that wants to put a ring on it.
Well... I think that you can wear jewelry on any finger you want. It doesn't matter if you're gay or not, but I guess Dana's question, my question is it predominantly worn on the right hand of the wedding finger if you're gay or lesbian, because that's what I believe. And it's left hand if you're straight.
That is absolutely true. But what she's saying is now the millennials have now invented that it's okay for divorced people. Just like gay people have invented the right finger for their wedding finger.
Yeah.
The millennials have now invented, because divorce is pretty big in you know, the newer upcoming group, that the ring finger on the right hand can now be used for a divorced person.
So is that what they were saying, Dana, is if you're divorced, you just switch the ring over, meaning that you're available?
Yes. Well, and it's usually newly divorced people, like, they don't want to give up their ring.
Yeah.
And so they put it on, especially, like, the women is usually what it is they put it on the...
Let's not be quick to judge. There's men that really love the ring, too.
If you think about it, you get what? Like, I don't know how much the average cost of a wedding ring is, but they're usually really expensive. It's
supposed to be a third or two-thirds of your salary
exactly.
for 1 year.
And so you have this giant rock on your hand that you don't probably want to give up, but you want to make sure that you're still, you don't look like you're married, so you put it on the other hand.
What if it's not about wanting to get rid of an expensive ring, but you really just like wearing the ring? I'm almost more upset that I can't wear my wedding ring than I'm not married anymore. I like that ring. It looked cool, man.
Well, why don't you just go out and buy another ring? If you like wearing jewelry so much, why don't you?
You can't wear another ring on your ring finger, though. I mean, that would look weird.
Yeah, but you want to wear rings on all your fingers. So if you wore rings on all your fingers, then what would it matter? Just wear rings on all your fingers except your wedding finger on your left hand.
I want to do 3 on my left hand and 2 on my right
hand. That's too many rings for a man.
That's too many rings for a man. There's a ring counter.
Joe, 1 on each hand, I think, is way more than enough.
Yeah,
I don't think you need any more rings.
Yeah,
you
need a lot of guys that accessorize with 2 on each hand.
Who, Johnny Depp?
Yeah.
Yeah, Johnny Depp?
That's exactly what I'm talking about.
You're talking about, like, Keith Richards?
Yeah, those guys.
Who else? I mean, come on, nobody's wearing that much freaking jewelry.
No, Joe, 1 on each finger.
I think a lot of celebrities wear jewelry like that when they go out.
Celebrities. Celebrities. That's a good catch, Dana.
Doesn't the commoners try to imitate what they see on TV?
Oh, I like how you called everybody listening a commoner.
What? So Joe has risen above it now because he's wearing jewelry. He's not a commoner. He's a celebrity.
Oh, I like that. I like that you guys immediately put me in celebrity. I was referring to myself as a commoner watching them on TV, but you both immediately went there. Thank you.
Because we know that Joe...
I would never say that about myself, but my partners did.
Joe thinking that he's above now because he's wearing jewelry. No, he's not a commoner.
That isn't what I said. I called myself a commoner.
766-9370. Which fingers should you wear the rings on fingers? We'll come back. We'll take a couple calls. Plus, we'll give you details on the iHeart Awards here shortly, and more rock and roll. Hang on. The Gazario Speedwagon taking on the run. Dog and Joe show on a Tuesday. Got a Taste Great update coming up. Also, celebrities behaving badly. Bunch of celebrities that did bad stuff in the last, I don't know, 3 or 4 days. We'll get that going for you here in a second. First news, though. I don't know how many people have followed this. Over the weekend, it blew up pretty good. 16 states now have filed a lawsuit against President Trump and his declaration of emergency that he announced back on Friday. The states include California, Colorado, Connecticut, Delaware, Hawaii, Illinois, Maine, Maryland, Michigan, Minnesota, Nevada, New Jersey, New Mexico, New York, Oregon, and Virginia. They all joined this state in legal action because on Friday, a lot of people saw this over the weekend. Basically, at the end of the declaration of national emergency, President Trump said, I just want to... I just want to declare this a national emergency because I don't feel like waiting for the money. I want to get it done now. And people are like, well, my God, that's unconstitutional. That's an abuse of power. You're going to sidestep the judicial system of America.
Wow.
Or legislative branch, rather, and you're just going to go on this on your own and say that this is a national emergency when it's not. And so people are pretty upset. And
what are they going to sue for?
Well, because it's an abuse of power, is what they're saying.
So they don't want money or anything. They want him to reverse his decision?
Well, he's going around the legislative branch. He's taking this into his own hands, and they're saying this is not a national emergency, and they don't want to have to put in any of their state money. No one wants to pay for this. Everyone's saying this should not happen.
That's kind of what I was wondering. What are they going to use? They just don't like it?
They don't like it because it's an abuse of power.
Okay.
Is what they're saying.
Gotcha.
And if you didn't think or maybe thought that this was a national emergency, this should tell you that it was, because Donald Trump played golf for 3 days over the weekend. And critics now are saying this is a big deal, because if the country is honestly in a national emergency, how does someone go out on both weekend days, including on Saturday at his international golf clubs? How do you play 6 hours of golf on Saturday? How do you play golf on Sunday? How do you play golf on Monday? This guy got 3 freaking rounds of golf in. I want to be president.
Wow.
That is kick ass.
That's amazing. That's all he really does. I think he plays golf more than he does presidenting.
Yeah. Yeah. Know? So people are like, crazy. My God. The country's in crisis. I mean, how worried about this can Trump be? He's out at the golf course for 3 days, but...
Well, his golf course probably wasn't nowhere near the border.
Well, no.
So he was safely tucked inside America.
Yeah, well, I don't know, though. Only about an hour and a half, 2 hours from Cuba.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, woo! Yeah. So, good thing we're not building a wall in Florida. That's where he was golfing.
This whole thing is getting so silly. Now we've got states. States suing the president. I mean, this is really getting out of hand.
This stuff always happens, and people always sue the president, and states...
Oh, I didn't know this.
Oh, yeah, it happens all the time. Every president, it's just, you know, it's legal jargon, politic crap.
Every president, probably not every, but most presidents along
every
the
president,
line has been sued by a state here or there.
Oh, yeah, and people, and yeah, it happens a lot.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Something else going on with Donald Trump. Alec Baldwin, he came back Saturday Night Live again.
I love that impersonation.
And what he wanted to do is talk about this speech that he gave on Friday. And so he does his little skit, and I didn't see it. And then Donald Trump saw it. And then what he does is he comes back the next day and says, "Nothing funny about tired Saturday Night Live. Live on fake news, NBC. Question is, how do the networks get away with these total Republican hit jobs without retribution? Retribution. Meaning, he says that they need to be punished in some way.
That's a strong term, too.
Likewise, for many other shows, very unfair and should be looked into. This is the real collusion. So then, Alec Baldwin, after he sees that tweet, he says, oh my God, does this Trump tweet constitute a threat to his family's safety?
Oh!
Because he used the word retribution. So now,
that's a mean word when you say that thing out loud. That sounds like you're going to get something done.
If
retribution.
If Donald Trump sent a tweet out to me and it said, "I'm going to get retribution against Dogface," okay,
you wouldn't worry?
No,
I would be in the hills by noon.
No,
gone.
God, no. What? He's playing golf 3 days a weekend. What's he going to do? Really? He's going to fire up the war machine? He's out playing golf.
Presidents probably don't deliver their own retribution. They've got a team of guys that drive around in black vehicles with black hats on and stuff.
Yeah, so Baldwin came back and he wanted to double down, and he's asking, does this threat constitute his family's safety?
That's
or does this
funny.
Constitute as a threat against his family safety? I didn't see the piece, but I guess it was pretty funny. Lots of people like it. He does a pretty good impersonation.
Oh, he does a great one. I don't think Trump can't really use the term fake news when he's talking about Saturday Night Live, because, I mean, that is a fake show. It's a comedy show.
Well, yeah, but he's calling out NBC, you know, when they're doing their news is fake.
He just throws it around with everything I mean, it's crazy.
Anybody that does not give the news the way he wants it, including Fox or others, fake news organizations. An update on the Google Earth online platform accidentally, whoops-a-daisy, led to the exposure of secretive Taiwanese military locations.
Ho!
Yeah. And you can see pretty good up-close photos.
Wow!
A military base, which is reportedly a facility for Patriot missiles, is crystal clear, and no blurring was implemented to prevent the public from viewing the site anytime they wanted to. It's possible to see the exact location. You can see the military base layout. You can see buildings, structures, and locations of missile launchers. So they're working now to get this taken down, and everybody's up in a hissy because of this happening. And I guess Google screwed up because they have access and imagery of all this stuff, but typically they do mask it. This somehow did not get through, or somehow got through, so people could view it.
Wow, that is really, really weird.
And have you been following this Jussie Smollett case?
Yes.
And everything that's going on with this.
I am blown away by how this is all turning out.
Yeah, and I watched a good deal of this over the weekend. Jussie Smollett, you know, he's on the big Fox show.
Did they have it on your Antique Grandpa show on Sunday morning?
They did talk a little bit about it, and I saw it on different newscasts throughout the weekend, and I watched it because he said that he was attacked in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
He said that he had a noose thrown around his neck. He was, you know, given black eyes. They pushed him down.
Coming out of a club, or was it on a sidewalk or something?
He was coming out of Subway.
Yeah, Subway.
He was getting lunch, wee hours of the morning, and the two men assaulted him. Now what they're saying is these two other guys, one of which that worked with them on the Fox show, was in the know, and now they're going to set up a grand jury on this, and they want to talk to him to figure out if these two guys...
I didn't hear that juicy little bit, one of which was on the Fox show.
Yeah, one of the guys of the two that claim that they set this whole thing out, yelling all the racial and homophobic slurs, they're saying that he was in on it and is paying them and helped them. They even showed the store where they went and bought the rope.
Oh, my gosh.
And then they say these two guys, I forget which country they're from, but they say these two guys orchestrated it with the help of Smollett, and they went back to show that one of the guys of the two had met Smollett on that Fox show, and they showed the piece where he was acting on it. So they're saying they're in cahoots together. Now they're going to get to the bottom of it because Chicago police, they can't put these lines together, and it doesn't add up. So now they're going to question all three of them.
Why would he? I mean, I don't understand the motive behind putting all this together. Notoriety? Did he want fame? I'm not sure what was going
Sympathy?
On here.
Yeah, did he want to blow up? Did he want attention?
Because he's already an actor, and he seems to be doing fairly well on that show.
Yeah, but did anyone really know who he was until this broke?
No, I didn't. I'd never heard of him.
I didn't. I don't watch the show. But I don't know what made him do it. I have no idea why he would do this. He's on the Empire show, by the way, which is a big show.
Yeah.
But I don't know what would make someone want to do this if, in fact, it was orchestrated. I don't know.
Then there's this to think about, too. Could they now be jumping on the bandwagon of what media is throwing out that he orchestrated it himself? So instead of, because they're on video, mm-hmm. they have them on video, so that video was eventually found. Now maybe they're just going to say, you know what? We didn't just attack him. You're right. He did set this thing up. I mean, could they be lying just to
get away with
the back of what's happening right now?
Yeah, I don't know. But if you remember the original story, Fox in Chicago said they were going to give him security detail because they had received threats, written threats or digital threats that had come into the office. And they said, hey, we want to get you protection.
Right.
And Smollett said, nah, I don't need protection. And then this happened. So I think it stinks of setup. But a lot of people are like, well, we're not going to know the truth until we know the truth. I don't know why they
that
would
makes
do
sense
this.
Right there. I forgot about that, that letters came in. That would.
Yeah, but they could have set the letters up.
That's what I'm saying.
They could have planned the whole thing.
Assume that they probably did set the letters up with that happening. I forgot about the letters coming in prior to.
Yeah.
That's
so,
weird, dude.
I don't know. It's kind of a neat little, you know, little piece of Hollywood going on, a little conspiracy.
Because he's not getting any money out of it, right? So there was no, it's not monetary gain.
No, I don't know what he was doing. I guess he wanted sympathy, you know, or he wants to get in with an organization. I don't know why anyone would do this.
In this day and age with cameras is everywhere and microphones yeah. and, I mean, you can't do that.
The Academy announced for the Oscars 2019, there's going to be a band performance by Adam Lambert and Queen, with Adam Lambert on vocals.
Awesome!
This came out... No, stop it!
He is awesome!
This was announced on Twitter on Monday, and they are going to do Bohemian Rhapsody, among other songs. Also, they're going to do We Will Rock You, and what they said from the Academy, is this the real life? Is this just fantasy? We welcome Queen, We Will Rock You, and Adam Lambert at the Oscars.
I absolutely love that dude's voice. He can sing unbelievably well.
Joe has always defended him. I've always shouted blasphemy. It should not happen. But Joe's always been a big fan of Adam Lambert.
I really am. And I know that he's out there and dresses all crazy, but that's what I like about it. He is just accessorizing to the hilt. And then when he sings, he's a man. You don't think he's got a good singing voice?
I don't like him, and I don't like the fact that Queen paired up with him.
Yeah,
no,
I like don't. Nobody that would be doing that role.
The show's going to happen February 24th, Dolby Theater in Hollywood. You can check out the broadcast on ABC. And out of this, for any guys that might be a little dry, you gone fishing, dunking the line, nothing coming in.
Goodness.
Golden Girls fans have been given one of the greatest gifts of all. They're going to take a special Western Caribbean Golden Girls cruise celebrating the iconic sitcom. You remember about 4 or 5 months ago, we talked about Golden Girls had a cereal.
Yeah.
They had a boxed yep. cereal. For whatever reason, this day and age, people are going Golden Girls crazy.
It's the new fad.
And they're going to do a cruise that takes off Key West to Cozumel, Mexico on February 24th, and they're going to sail the high seas. And the only one that's still alive that could go is Dorothy, a.k.a. Betty White.
Yeah.
Because all the others are dead.
So are they trying to say that women from that show, like Dorothy, is going to be on there? Are they centering this towards that age group of people?
Well, it just says it's described as a once-in-a-lifetime gathering. The five-night high seas adventure also incorporates a Golden Girls bar crawl, a fancy dress party and dinner, bingo night, karaoke party at the Rusty Anchor, which was Blanche's go-to place. And that's where she used to, you know, go to meet guys and all that. Which, yeah, those guys would be in their 80s or 90s now. It doesn't say how old the people are, but there's going to be 2,170 of them. $1,200 for a deluxe cabin, $1,000 for person.
Wow. I mean, you're going to get that boat filled full of old folks, and you're going to have to do stuff like that. You're going to kill half of them before you get it back.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm here to tell you, if you're a halfway decent-looking dude, this cruise is your oyster. If you can't get laid on this cruise, you couldn't get laid in a women's prison with a handful of pardons.
Oh, my God.
That's what this is all about.
This
is
a
cougar cruise.
That's exactly where your mind goes to.
Yeah.
That is yucky.
Hey, oh, really? They're going to have all these different... They're going to have a dress contest, the fancy dresses, and a bar crawl.
There's still older ladies.
Well, still, though, there's younger guys, and maybe these guys are in their 60s or 70s. This right here is where you want to go fishing.
Hey, like, because your fish can't run from you.
Hey, you know what's going to happen? They're going to get on this cruise. All the dudes are going to book this thing out. There's going to be like three women on it.
True. That is what
that's what it's going to be, a sausage boat.
A bunch of old men in white socks and sandals.
Oh, yeah. So that's going to happen coming up at the end of this month if you want to take the Golden Girls cruise. That's about all we've got news-wise. Coming up, we'll do a Taste Great update. It is a Tuesday, plus celebrities behaving badly. Hold on.
Celebrities are great, but bad celebrities are even better. It's time for Celebrities Behaving Badly on the Dog and Joe Show.
All right, we got a good full stock thing of bad celebrities. All this stuff happened over the weekend or since the days we've been gone. We were off yesterday. First of which that Joe found, and this is pretty unbelievable if you haven't seen this. I think everybody knows who Miley Cyrus and Billy Ray Cyrus and Tish Virus are, right?
Cyrus.
Sorry, my bad.
Yeah.
Over the weekend, I guess, what they post up on one of the social networks is this. Tish Virus. I'm sorry, Cyrus.
There you go.
And Tish, just so you know, prettier than her daughter, Miley. She's a very nice-looking woman, and she looks just like her daughter, except prettier.
It could be like her older sister. It's weird.
It's what it looks like. So Billy Ray, he jumps on Twitter, one of them, and shows Tish Cyrus, his wife and the mother of his two daughters, in a safe that's the size of a refrigerator with looks to be about, I don't know, 8 to 9,000 million tons of pot.
I mean, there is so much weed in that photo, and it's all been picked and bagged, and it's ready to smoke, and I'm telling you, he's not lying. It looks like 50 pounds of dope in there.
It's
easy.
Just giant clear bags of pot in a safe. They've got pounds and pounds and pounds of it. So Billy Ray Cyrus, this is what he writes. Yes, like I said yesterday at Tish Cyrus, my, how the times are a-changing. And he just has bags and bags of dope in a safe, and the wife's standing there like, ta-da, look at what we have. As if she's standing in front of a refrigerator and it's stocked full of, like, juice boxes and beef.
And there's no faking that look. That is a happy mama.
Yeah.
They're happy about it. They're on there proud as peach pie that they can open that up and take a bath in dope.
And now critics are saying Billy Ray Cyrus's weed photo. They're saying every person in jail right now for smoking pot should be released immediately, effective today, because he has well more than you should have, even if you have a card or by any state's standards as to what the legal amount is. He's got truckloads of dope in this safe.
He's got well more than a neighborhood of people should be able to have.
He has. I think
you can't have pounds and pounds and pounds and pounds of it like that.
I saw this and it looked like an evidence locker for El Chapo.
And you can't have it in distributable bags.
Well,
he's got it broken up in what looks to be 3-pound bags.
Yeah, I mean, it's just tons and tons of pot. And I don't know what's going to happen now. I don't even know where the hillbillies live or what they're doing or what the laws are. But clearly, more pot than any one family should be allowed to have.
And I mean, it is of what looks to be just magnificent quality. I don't know who's cutting it off the tree for him or whatever, but that is some good trimmed up bud right there.
For people that have ever bought walnut meats,
wow.
you know, you go through, and if you've ever shelled walnuts and all that, and you take all the skins off and you get them all clean, we put them in bags. You know, we put them in freezer bags, and we might have two or three. Every now and again, we'll get some cherries or we'll get stuff, and we'll put them in these nice bags, and we'll put them in the freezer. That's what they've done. It's like they have a safe full of walnut meats, but it's marijuana bud.
Yeah. Look on top of it.
Oh, yeah?
She's got three or four bags up on top that just haven't even gone in yet. That's probably from today's haul.
Yeah.
That's probably why it was open. She's adding.
So I don't know if Billy Ray Cyrus and his wife and his family are smoking all this, if they're selling it, if they just bought a shipment.
Are you two people, and I'm assuming it's two people. I mean, unless you're having party after party, two people could never smoke that amount of pot.
You got it, Dana. I think this photo needs to go on Facebook, Dana, because it's an immense amount of dope.
Okay.
This right here would probably make Joe Mommy go night-night.
I mean, I can't even... They say no one's ever died from smoking dope, but I got to be honest. If you got into that, the better into that one.
It's an insane amount of pot.
It's so much.
What would make someone, whether it's legalized in his state or it's gaining legalization federally or not, why would you post that?
I don't know.
It's crazy.
Especially with the string of I mean, they've kind of ended because we caught them. But remember all them celebrity robberies that were going on? People were breaking into folks' houses and stealing stuff?
Yeah, why would you want to post what's inside your house in a safe or not?
I can't even imagine the amount of money that's attached to that.
Well, we got an update on R. Kelly. He was acquitted in his child porn case because they're saying now witnesses were intimidated. There was evidence tampering. There was physical threats and payments to witnesses. So claims attorney Michael Avenatti.
What?
This guy's back now, and he's messing around with this R. Kelly thing. Michael Avenatti, if you remember, he was the who? Who was the attorney for? Do you remember?
Avenatti. Subway?
No.
Jared?
No. He was the attorney for one Stormy Daniels.
Oh!
Yes.
The dancer.
And if you remember, a month or so ago, there were claims that he was beating on his wife that had come out and said that he was physically abusive toward her.
Oh, my goodness, I do, yeah.
So he's caught up in this thing now, and Avenatti does not get specific as to why he believes the various misdeeds were allegedly committing during the 2008 trial. Kelly's current lawyer, who was not involved in the old trial, tells us, or TMZ rather, that R. Kelly had the highest integrity and Avenatti's claims are baseless. Avenatti Natalie has been actively in the R. Kelly case. He has turned over a new tape to the Cook County prosecutors, which he says shows R. Kelly having sex with, plug your ears on this, this is hard to hear, having sex with and urinating on a 14-year-old girl.
Oh my God!
As TMZ reported, in the wake of the new tape, several women have come forward claiming to be victims of the singer and have been interviewed by prosecutors. A grand jury has been convened, and they're told that the tape and various witnesses are being presented to the panel. Atoria Gloria Allred was critical of Avenatti, saying that she was troubled by the new tape because it was viewed by the news media, worrying that one of her clients may be the 14-year-old girl in the tape, but Avenatti says that girl is not in the tape, so this whole R. Kelly thing has just gone from just heinous and disgusting to morbid. And people want this guy investigated, and they want him locked up, because how do you have this many claims against one person that involve all the same theme or topic?
Typically, you don't see your own people coming out against you in such droves as you, and by your own people, I mean singers, actors and actresses,
celebrities, and
folks in your group, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But the second that this was brought back up again, there were so many celebrities coming out. So clearly people know he does. I mean, that's why I don't know this prosecutor or whoever's going to, or defender, whoever's defending him.
But I guess the weird thing is, too, what brings it out? Because you go back in the day with Bill Cosby, and everybody talked about his creepiness.
Yeah.
But until that, what was his name? Burris? Who was the comic that broke it? Hannibal Burris, I think is his name.
Burgess, I think.
Yeah. Until that guy started making the jokes and people picked up on it, nobody really thought nothing about it, but everybody knew. Chelsea Handler, all these different up-and-coming female comedians, all these people knew that he was creepy, but it was hidden for years and years and years until finally it popped.
And we didn't know how weird and creepy. It wasn't just sexual stuff either. It was just really just neurotic. He wanted people to watch him eat. I mean, Bill Cosby was a weirdo.
He was really weird, but I just can't believe why this stuff gets swept under the rug for so long when so many different people know about it. Well, over the weekend, this is kind of sad news, especially for Joe. Kate Beckinsale was caught out on a date in L.A. with a man that was not her boyfriend, Pete Davidson.
Woo!
Now some of Pete Davidson's fans from SNL, they're worried that the SNL comedian may fall into another deep depression over Kate's behavior, just like he did when Ariana Grande left him. And fans are concerned.
That means their date. Well, this guy is crazy. Did Kate Beckinsale's now left him?
Well, she was seen out at this place called Craig's in Los Angeles. It's like a fancy, you know, restaurant for the stars.
Okay.
And they saw Kate Beckinsale with someone who was not Pete Davidson.
Oh, I see where they're going with this right now.
And the actress, who had recently sparked dating rumors when spotted with the comedian, covered her face with her hand and slipped out the back entrance before getting in the car because she did not want to get spotted with this so-called date or have Pete Davidson know she was catting around.
You have got to be kidding me. How in God's name is this guy dating all of these hot women? Clearly, he's dating this one now.
Yeah, I mean,
let's say he is super funny, which he might be. I don't even know. You know, okay. I don't know him that well. But Kate Beckinsale?
Yeah.
What's wrong with that? That's George Clooney, Brad Pitt material right there, dude.
Well, yeah, but you know how he's getting these chicks.
Oh, how?
He's trying. He's leaving the house. He knows that you can't fish if you don't go fishing. That's how he's doing it, Dana. Right. Joe won't date.
I love how you had to sneak a little dig in Joe in there.
I know. It's nice, I admit it.
Yeah, that's really sweet of you.
Yeah.
I thought I might be ready to dip my toes back into the dating pool. But look, I don't look like Pete Davidson. You know? Yeah. I'm scared to death to even try and think what women want these days. I have no idea.
They want guys who don't spend every waking minute playing Red Dead Redemption and Fortnite. That's what they want.
No, you know why I stay home and play those games? Because I know that I can't get Kate Beckinsale type women.
How does he do that, though, Dana? Do you know who Pete Davidson is?
No, I know the name, but he's on SNL.
Yeah, he's on SNL, yeah. And he's kind of a quirky, odd-looking dude.
Skinny little normal-looking fella.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's overly attractive, but he's not an ugly guy.
But he's getting all these different chicks that are, I mean, he's turning into like David Spade. And David Spade, he ran
the
gamut.
Wait, this is the guy that was with Ariana Grande?
Yeah.
Oh, and now he's with Kate Beckinsale.
Well, was until she started running around on him, according to the media.
He something was going on because if she dipped out of a restaurant hiding her face, then she was trying to not be seen.
Yeah.
That means he's at least kissed her.
This guy is not hot.
Yeah, yeah. How does he get in the chicks, though,
Dana?
And
he has ugly, bleach blonde hair.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah, he's got big bug eyes.
I think it's just the fact that he's probably funny. He has tattoos, and I think those two things pretty much win women over.
No, they don't.
Hey,
no, they don't.
Dana, do you remember who David Spade is and what David Spade looks like? Okay,
yeah.
Who's hotter, Pete Davidson or David Spade?
I would go for David Spade over Pete Davidson.
Because do you remember we talked years and years and years about this? David Spade was
clearly funnier.
Oh, David Spade,
and funnier, charismatic,
funnier, better actor. Hung around, you know, Adam Sandler. Hung around the late Chris Farley.
That's right.
Yeah,
but David Spade. I mean, he was with Hollywood's elite, the hottest of
all. He always got the hot chicks, yeah.
Yeah, like Brad Pitt, George Clooney, David Spade walked in. He was taking the hottest piece home, and he did this consecutively to like where it became a thing, like where hot upcoming chicks, if they wanted to be known in Hollywood, they knew that before they got a small role in a movie, they had to bed David Spade.
Well,
that's how the thing worked.
I think it actually probably did, because if you think about it, it's like, oh, wow, David Spade, you know, banged XYZ.
Yeah.
And it's like, if I want to be like her, I got to bang David Spade.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's crazy.
Yeah, if you think about it, everyone's like, oh, I got to get a hold of this talent agency or I got to update my portfolio.
Nope.
You got to get David Spade to bed you. That's how the pecking order in Hollywood ran.
He had the magical serum to get women roles in movies, but it just didn't work for him.
No. Yeah. Well, he didn't, because he'd never make his calls. He couldn't even go out and audition because all he was doing is sleeping with all the women.
I mean, he was sleeping with the A-plus actor stars, but he just wasn't starring in the roles with them.
No, the only reason he did those crappy movies with Adam Sandler is because he needed money to take him out to dinner. Come on, Adam, help me out, man. I got to take this hot chick out. I need a role.
That's unbelievable.
It is crazy.
How is that happening?
I don't know.
How is that happening?
Coming up, we'll give you more details on the iHeart Music Awards Plus Tuesday. Here's the Eagles. All right, goody goody. On a Tuesday, we're back from our 3-day, always Every Tuesday, it's called Tuesday. We always give you the latest in food and news and chewing updates. And what we have for you now to start off the Taste Grade update, the difference between white and brown eggs. Do you know the difference between white and brown eggs? Everyone else out there, they buy eggs, except for Dana. Dana doesn't like eggs. You don't eat them, though.
No, I make them for my husband.
Yeah.
I like that. She doesn't even like the egg, but she'll make them for him.
That's a good woman.
That really is cool of her.
But people out there, they're picky. They see white. They're like, oh, I like white better. They see brown. They like brown better. What's the difference?
They're the same thing, aren't they?
Dana?
I thought that the brown eggs were more natural for whatever reason.
Because they have a brown shell, they look more organic.
They look more organic, yeah.
Yeah.
I thought the organic white and organic brown egg was the exact same egg. I have, listen to this, a friend that told me the same chicken lays both.
Well, I would disown that friend. And is that the same friend that tells you all the stuff we talk about that you're wrong on?
Few of them.
Yeah. I wouldn't talk to that friend anymore because he's absolutely incorrect.
He said you walk right out to the, if someone's got a chicken coop, he said there's all kinds of different colored eggs get laid in there.
He probably has multiple different chickens.
Yeah, he probably has multiple chickens. Eggshells get their color due to the breed of chicken they come from. For example, breeders have found that many white-feathered chickens with white earlobes lay white eggs.
Earlobes? Chickens have earlobes?
They do.
What?
And red-feathered chickens with red earlobes lay brown eggs.
While this is immediate crap. I've seen a chicken. It does not have earlobes.
Yeah, okay.
No, they do. I Googled it.
This is legitimate. While earlobe color can be a predictor of egg color, it's not always the rule. For example, one breed of red earlobe chicken, called the Araquana breed, often lays blue eggs, but may also lay eggs that are green, pink, or even lavender.
Is that known as the Easter egg chicken?
I guess so.
Yeah.
And it says here, why do you pay more for brown eggs?
Oh, my God.
Well, there's a reason that you pay more. It's because you think they're worth more. And because, like Dana says, you think they're healthier and more nutritious and more delicious, it's not the case. Brown eggs are more expensive because of the size and the hen that lays them. Red-feathered chickens tend to weigh more than a white-feathered chicken. That means they eat more, meaning it costs more to feed them, so the chicken ranchers are going to charge more for their eggs. But there's no difference between the egg.
So I was right. They are the same.
There's no difference. Yes.
Yeah, well, I figured since I can taste no difference anyway, I was probably cockamamie, but I can taste no difference in them.
Yeah, but you can't taste the difference between Coke and Pepsi. You can't taste the difference between Popeyes or KFC.
That's why I figured it was cockamamie. I'm glad science backs me up this time.
Well, but there is a difference in flavor for people that do eat white or brown. Like, I go to a chicken ranch, and you can tell
you're
the difference.
You're disagreeing with this?
No, there's no difference in the egg, but there's difference because if they're coming from... In the taste of the egg, because there's different feed that they use. So if the chickens are different... chickens and they're eating different food, the eggs might taste different or can taste different, but the egg is the egg is the egg. One isn't healthier.
If that one chicken can lay like those many different colored eggs, was my buddy right? Does the same chicken lay many different kinds of eggs, a white egg, a brown egg,
no,
whatever else?
No.
That one breed of chicken can do that?
Yeah, only that one breed of chicken does that. So unless your buddy had that one breed of chicken, no, the eggs are going to come out almost always the same color. And I just explained that to you. The red.
That's unbelievable.
Joe's ears never work. You know that.
He has chicken earlobes.
Yes, he does.
Just not the red ones.
They're white ones.
Oh, my God. It's back. Shamrock Shake.
Yeah.
Woo.
God, that's so yucky.
The Shamrock Shake is back, and McDonald's sent this out. The minty moment you've been waiting for is finally here. The Shamrock Shake is back. Find one near you with the McDonald's Shamrock Shake app. Only at McDonald's for a limited time.
They have an app. You guys both
they
had
that app a couple years ago?
Have you guys both had a Shamrock Shake?
Oh, God.
I love them, and I've talked about them since I've known Joe. Here's the deal, and this just announced on February 14th, so Valentine's Day, they announced this. They're there at McDonald's now, participating in McDonald's. They used to do the mint green ice cream. Or shake mix. Mm-hmm. Now what they use, and I don't know if they still use it, is they use this shake syrup.
It's probably like not an essential oil, but the extract.
Yeah, it's like an extract. It's syrupy, it's green, and it's not as good.
It's too processed, is what
you're
saying. It's
too processed. And now they put vanilla or whipped topping on it with a cherry. And they put it in a clear cup. Before, it used to be just a mint ice cream shake, and they were so much better. Now they're weird.
See, I've never actually had one.
So do you like mint ice cream?
Absolutely.
Oh, you'd like
mint
it,
chocolate
then.
Chip is one of the best ice cream.
Here, here.
I took one pull off a straw. I'll never touch it to my lips again.
they're delightful.
Anything green Joe will not eat.
Yeah.
Even if it's ice cream.
Unless it's an egg. Unless it's an egg.
I never found a green egg, but that sounds awful. That seems like it might
green
be
eggs
rotten.
And ham?
Yeah. Yeah. You've never had green eggs and ham with with Dr. Seuss? Guy Fieri, he's got a new restaurant. It's called Chicken Guy. He opened it up down in Orlando in the Flavortown area of Orlando's Disney Springs, right next to Planet Hollywood. People have eaten it. People say, oh my God, it has so much crunch. It has so much flavor. The chicken is fantastic.
This is fried chicken.
Fried chicken.
Oh, so this is going up against Popeyes and KFC.
Yeah. And again, this is in Orlando, and Guy Fieri, you know, I cannot stand him. He never stops. He's always got to open up some sort of little, you know, restaurant, some sort of chain. He's always doing something.
And people love it.
And this is why I hate Guy Fieri. When they asked Guy Fieri about it, he said, I'm stoked to be building Chicken Guy. But let me tell you, our sauce guy. Game is on point. It's all about our sauce game.
He missed an opportunity. He's supposed to say it's on fire.
That's right.
Fire. Yeah. That's what the millennials say.
Like my matching armbands.
Yeah. See,
they've
he
got
should do that.
22 different sauces for your dipping pleasure, and it lists them all. And what they're probably going to do if this place blows up and people like it is they're going to expand Chicken Guy.
Now, do you think he's on the East Coast now because he has played out the West Coast too much
yeah,
at this point?
I would think so.
West Coast, I think, is done with Guy Fieri. I know he's still got his Johnny Garlics or whatever, and people in Santa Rosa love him.
In Roseville.
Huh?
I think that it's only in Roseville because the other one closed down. That was down the street.
Well, no, that was the Tex Wasabi.
But it was still his restaurant.
Yeah. Yeah. So they have a Johnny Garlic in Roseville?
I think uh-huh, so, yeah.
Oh, do they? Mm-hmm. So he's got that one, and he's got his thing going on in Santa Rosa, and he's got all his shows on TV.
And then he endorses Squeeze In.
Yeah, yeah.
Your which, favorite.
Squeeze In, they're going out of business, and Tracy and other markets, too. They're not blowing up the way they were. So I think that, yeah, the Guy Fieri fad has finally faded, so he needs to go out now to the West Coast, or East Coast. And con those people into greasy
well,
garbage.
He did it to himself here. I mean, he was would have been just fine. He started getting a little bigger than what he should be, and he started letting his head get the better of him, and he was acting like an idiot and throwing fits everywhere. And I mean, he kind of caused his own destruction here.
He did, but if you talk to people, most people except me, they still love him.
Well, and he just did something like really cool for the campfire victims. I don't remember off the top of my head what it was, but he did a bunch of cool stuff
food.
For them.
Yeah, and
which
I know
he does, and then he turns around and acts like an a-hole to people.
Well, that's why he does that charity stuff, is so he can
gotta
be an
balance
a-hole.
It out, yeah.
Yeah, he tries to balance it out. But a lot of people still love him, and they still watch the you know the Triple D, and they love that show. And you still drive by restaurants that say "Guy ate here."
Yeah,
and
that is true.
If I see a sign that says "Guy ate here," I'm mad at it. I floorboard it. I do not stop. Dana, too bad this didn't happen before you and Kenny got married. Costco's selling now 5-tier wedding cakes.
Woo!
That's made of cheese.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Made of cheese.
Whatever you want?
No. This is what you get. Help me with these gourmet cheeses, Dana.
All right.
You got red Leicester? Leicester?
Leicester, I think. I can't remember. I don't know how to say that one.
You get Danish Blue.
Mm-hmm.
You get Murcia Alvino,
ooh,
which is a drunken goat cheese.
That sounds
good
delicious.
Lord.
And other cheeses. And what you do is you stack them up, and it'll feed 150 people. You put the big cheese wheel on the bottom. You put it, and you build it, and you can decorate it however you want.
Is
and
there
it goes,
brie in there?
Yeah, it's got brie in there.
Yeah.
And you get it for $440.
Whoa!
$440. That's not bad, I think, for a cake. I think a lot of people pay a lot of money for cakes. So if you're going to pay for a cake, might as well get cheese.
And cheese better than cake.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So people are doing
God,
this.
I don't know about all that. I mean,
you love cheese, though.
Not some
kinds
sorry.
Of cheese. Hang on. It had to be American single
yeah,
slices,
I mean, what
right?
What you're talking about right there is just that's just rotten milk.
Joe will not eat cheese unless it's wrapped in a very exquisite cellophane wrapper.
Imagine Joe's wedding cake made out of singles, and you have to unwrap each
no,
one.
No, you know what Joe's going to make his wedding cake out of? Just like he made his homemade Lunchables.
Oh, here we go.
It's going to be one rich cracker, circle of ham, circle of cheese. One rich cracker, circle of ham, circle of cheese. That's going to be his cake.
That takes care of everything a cake has. Crust and filling.
He's going to go to the cake maker.
Hi,
hey.
Joe.
Oh, that's right.
Can you make a rich cracker 14 inches in diameter and
oh,
ham circles 14 inches in diameter?
A Ritz cracker cake.
A couple more things going on for the Taste Great update. Peep cereal.
Oh, God.
Now sold at Target.
Ugh,
Target. And it has marshmallows in it, and people want this stuff. Here's the box. Kellogg's Peeps. Cereal form.
Ugh. Wow,
Target
man.
Is dead to me now. That's awful.
I got to be honest. Eating one Peep is about all you can do in one sitting, ugh. So I don't know what a whole bowl full of them would taste like.
They looks like they don't have the shape of like the little bird and the bunny. It basically looks like Fruit Loops with marshmallows.
I bet you that marshmallow is the same consistency as the Peep, though. So that would be, I mean, a whole bowl full of that would be tough.
God, with milk?
I'd try it.
Ugh. Diet Coke just released two fruity flavors, and they're unlike anything Coke's made before that you've tried before. They got blueberry, acai. How do you say that, Dana? Is it a K or a Kai? I think it is a Kai, right?
No, the acai.
Acai, yeah. That's acai, how you say it.
I thought it had a weird sound to it.
And strawberry guava.
Oh,
guava sounds.
That sounds
delicious.
Disgusting in a soda form.
Yeah. Mixed with Coke, yeah. They've also got bubble gum, 90s candy. They've got raspberry, black cherry, and the acai. Watermelon, melted candy. So they got all these new flavors because all the soda companies, nobody's buying it anymore, and they want to sell it, and they're trying to get the kids into thinking that it's healthy.
Especially the diet soda.
Well, with LaCroix, forget about it.
Well, what is that?
That's the sparkling water that everybody loves. And it's like mildly flavored, like they have the grapefruit pamplemousse.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's that crap you drink.
I love it. Yeah. It's so good.
And Joe brought this up. He won't let this lie. So today for a Tuesday, as soon as we get done, we're going to do a Dog and Joe after show and do the cola taste test because Dana and Joe don't believe that I can taste the difference between Coke and Pepsi. So we'll put the blindfold on and we'll do the taste test.
Well, I think it runs a little farther down the gamut than that. I mean, it's not just Coke and Pepsi. You said you could taste all of them.
Sprite? I can taste Sprite,
Squirt.
I can taste 7-Up, I can taste Sierra Mist and all those, or I can do Pibb and Dr. Pepper, and I can do Coke, and I can do Pepsi easily.
Well, we'll do clear liquid ones or white liquid ones on a different day. Today, I think we do colas.
You want to just do colas?
Yeah. I want to see if you can do this again, because you and I have done it years ago. I see how your taste buds have held up.
Yeah. They're more
aging process.
Refined.
Yes, they're more refined now that I'm older.
You do a lot of these wine tastings. Will you now require a cracker between each soda?
He needs to swish with water.
Oh.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, and I prefer almonds. Those cleanse the palate.
Okay, we'll get you almonds.
Yes. Yeah. Ethan, good morning. What's up?
Good morning. I was calling to let you know Johnny Garlic's has actually closed down here in Roseville.
Oh, kind of like all the other
Wait, did you have restaurants. Something to do with this? I think Dog had something to do with it.
I tried to call in sooner, but you guys were
I wish they'd let DoorDash know that.
As fast as I could.
I just saw it on DoorDash as I was scrolling through last night.
Yeah. I thought that it was closed, so the only thing that's still open is the stuff in Santa Rosa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Poor guy. He is losing everything around here.
Yeah. Hey, what are you going to do? I'm going to go to Florida. What are you going to make? Fried chicken.
Hey, the old-timers probably love that.
Yeah. So I appreciate that, Ethan.
Yeah, thank you, brother.
Coming up, 9 o'clock, we'll get you tickets, give you a chance anyway to get qualified to go check out the iHeart Music Awards. Here's Billy Idol. There goes Aerosmith, Dream on a Tuesday, Dog and Joe Show. Listen to this, 766-9370. See if you think this is cool. Senator John Morlock, I think is how you say his name. He's out of Orange County. He introduced SB 319 on Friday, okay? Senate Bill 319. If it passes, listen to this, it would require the Department of Transportation to build two additional traffic lanes on northbound and southbound 5 and 99. Those new lanes, if this were to pass, would have no maximum speed limit.
Wow.
The other lanes of traffic would still ban drivers from going more than 65 miles an hour. And the reason that this came up and the reason they want this thing to be introduced and to go through is because they say traffic congestion causes the vehicle to idle longer, that leads to more greenhouse gas emissions. Now, I just want to repeat this again. They want to build two additional lanes on 99 and 5, both north and southbound lanes. Those new lanes would have no maximum speed limit whatsoever.
That is absolutely unbelievably cool.
That would be game-changing awesome. People would sell their houses and their children to buy supercars.
I don't know about that.
You would see people selling their children's kidneys and organs south of the border so they could buy all these dream cars and people would be driving like never before. It would be great. You'd see all those damn Teslas, and you'd see all those damn little football smart cars. You'd just see them abandoned on the side of the road. People would just get out, just walk, and people would want to get back to their gasoline and petroleum-sucking beasts immediately.
Would those two lanes kind of work like they do over in Germany for the Autobahn?
The Autobahn.
Where you get on it, you just go, and there's no
limit? No, because they'd be engineered by Americans, and they'd be built in California and Caltrans. And
they wouldn't function.
No.
But would you use them in the same manner and fashion?
Well, yeah, you could, and I would hope so. And I think it'd be fantastic. But here's the other thing people don't know about the Autobahn, and I've never been there. Billions and trillions of dollars go into those roadways to make them so they're not like 5.
True.
And 50.
True.
And 80. You don't have potholes. You don't have seams. You don't have ponded water. You don't have crowning or reverse crowning or concave. You know, those roads over there are like ice rinks. They're beautifully paved so they can withstand that kind of speed. But even if they gave us just our normal run-of-the-mill Caltrans crappy roadway, unlimited speed limit, no maximum speed limit is what they're calling for, that means people could get in their car in Sacramento, and they could drive 120 or 130, and you would be in places like Fresno in an hour and 15, 20 minutes. I mean, you're looking at going from here to L.A. in 3 hours. Depending on what kind of car, if there's truly no maximum speed limit.
And I know that sounds awesome for people. And it would be totally cool to be able to drive like that. Are you kidding me? That would be so much fun. But I want you to think about this. You know people will just get into those lanes.
Oh, yeah.
And 65 it.
Yeah.
Because they just think it's the same kind of person that does it in our fast lanes on our freeway.
Whether you have two lanes or 20. Yeah, yeah. You could have two lanes or 150. You're still going to get some guy that gets over there and wants to start messing with his phone and not ever check the rearview mirror.
And I know that you know, it really pisses you off. Dog gets so irritated by that.
Oh,
I don't really get angry by it, but I think it's a danger. Like, it's like getting on the freeway at like 45. It's like really dangerous.
It could work in reverse. And I just want to say here, too, this guy, this Senator John Morlock, the reason they want to do this is because traffic congestion causes the vehicle to idle longer, that leads to more greenhouse gas emissions.
Is that true?
That is not true.
Okay.
And everybody in all these cities, like up in Washington and up in Oregon, they've talked about this. All these greenhouse states that want to clean up stuff.
I thought there might be science to it because these new vehicles we're driving have got that auto stop
and start and all that stuff. That's why they do it. And to me, all the auto companies are doing it. To me, that's hard on the engine. I don't like that feature. But what they say is in theory, that could work, but it won't. Because people are going to drive more, and they're going to drive faster.
And harder.
Yeah. So all you're going to do is you're going to eliminate all these people that are idling, which is wasteful because they're not moving. But then you're going to have guys out there wanting to set the sound barrier each and every day going back and forth to work. So it's a crap cause, but I don't want anyone to tell the senator that. I want him to think that he's doing this for the benefit of our ecosystem. But don't ever tell him that he's full of crap. Just let this thing pass. Because here's the thing. Even if we can't go with no maximum speed limit, for them to put two additional lanes on 99 and 5, that alone, even with a 65 or 70 mile an hour speed limit.
That'd be amazing.
Life-changing.
Oh, that is, it's life-altering.
Yeah.
I mean, that is fantastic.
The trouble with it is we wouldn't see it in our lifetime. Because by the time they got two new lanes added to both freeways, we're dead. I mean, that's going to take 40 years.
Oh, yeah. And in our lifetime, you know what's going to happen? Every 5 years, they have to repave the two lanes they've got for 5 and 99, so there's never going to be no time to make new lanes.
I'm not sure when the construction on 80 began, but it was well before I got here in 04, and I think it just ended last year, so that's at least 14 years of the last two.
Yeah, that's true.
And I mean, honestly, that's proof.
I think what they should do is just put up warning signs. Don't even pave it. Just give us two dirt lanes with pylons every, like, mile. And you don't even have to have a paved road. Just make it dirt.
Yeah.
And if you want to get out there and run what you brought, maximum speed limit, there is none.
Oh,
just go for it.
At your own risk.
Oh, my God. Imagine the dirt you're kicking up at the rocks. Oh my God. Coming at you 100 miles an hour.
Okay, then put up some sort of, like, sneeze guard. Right. You know, like when you go to the Sizzler, they got the sneeze guard to keep your germs out of the lettuce. Just put up, like, a little 3-foot wall to keep the rocks down.
Yeah, what about the dust? I mean, the people on the freeway driving at normal speeds, it's going to be like
plumes.
They're driving on Mars.
Yeah, that would look cool. Bro, it'd look like Mad Max.
Yeah, man.
So I think it's pretty damn cool. I know that it will not happen. It's a pipe dream. But my God, if they extended the lanes and then put no maximum speed, oh my God, that would fix so much here in California.
I mean, who's the senator to come up with this? I mean, that's a pretty...
John Morlock.
I mean, yeah, I mean, who is he? Like, anything about him? Or?
I don't know what his deal is. He thinks he's doing it to save on greenhouse gases. But I don't know where they're going to get the money. I know it's not going to happen, but it's wishful thinking.
Wow, it's really, I mean, it's forward thinking is what it is. It's the thinking of a young man.
He's a Californian senator.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Well, he'd have to be if he's here.
37th district.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah, come on, man. Don't tell anything to him, though. Don't say a word about this. Come on, let's save the whales. And you know what? We could put frog underpasses like every 30 miles or whatever. Whatever we got to do.
Oh, we know that that was not a good thing, though. Didn't it mess up the ecosystem at Davis?
Yeah, but something with the people in Davis, they loved it.
They loved it
until it messed everything up.
Yeah, yeah. They're sitting there choking on who knows what kind of new algae started growing out of the ground, but the frogs are all alive.
That's exactly right. And they're like, we don't care that much about the frogs. We want to breathe again.
Frogs are the size of trucks now. What's going on? Oh, okay, Danny. You said don't take that guy. Okay, I won't talk to him.
Goodness gracious.
I love that you just read it.
Yeah. Anyway, I think it's fantastic news. Hopefully they can get this done, but they don't even have a cost, or they're in the prelim of this whole thing. But if it were to happen, think about that. What kind of car would you go out and buy?
Oh, my gosh, man.
Unlimited speed.
That's incredible. Just to be able to do that one time in your life would be really neat.
I think that guy should be fired immediately for just even saying that. For even bringing this legislation up and this being a news story, he should be exiled.
Why would you even put this in my mind?
Yeah. Here's Sledgehammer. It's Peter Gabriel on the river. Think of Sledgehammer, Peter Gabriel, Dog and Joe show on a Tuesday. More Tuesday stuff coming up. Plus, don't forget today on the after show, Dog and Joe after show on Instagram and Facebook, the cola taste test to see if I can taste the difference between Coke and Pepsi. We're going to film that live, and that'll be waiting for you around 10:30.
These things are so fun.
And 9 o'clock, we'll give you chances to go down and check out the iHeart Music Awards. That'll be at 9. We'll give you the code word. Hopefully, you can go. You know what? Thank God for this. I want to share this with people, and I don't know how excited they are about it, but it's a godsend from where I stand. Tennis legend Martina Navratilova, which, if you're not, you know, as old as I am, you're probably not going to know the name. But back in the day with Chris Everett Lloyd, it was her. She was at the tail end of Billie Jean King and all that. She was a big, big tennis sensation. She's a lesbian. Her name's Martina Navratilova. Mm-hmm. And she says that she's done her research, and she now believes more than ever transgender athletes' physiology, when they're born as men and want to compete as women, should not be allowed ever. She says it's insane and it's cheating. And she did this in the Sunday Times.
Wow.
She says, I'm happy to address a transgender woman in whatever form she prefers, but I would not be happy to compete against her. It simply would not be fair. She goes on and on to say that she's dedicated months of her life researching the topic and now feels even stronger that trans women have an unfair advantage and should not be allowed to compete against cisgender women. What is that?
Cisgender?
Dana, what does that mean? What is a cisgender woman?
So a cisgender woman, here's the full definition, is the term for someone who exclusively identifies as the sex they're assigned with at birth.
So you're a cisgender woman.
And you guys are cisgender men. Correct.
Why can't we just be dudes and chicks?
Well, I think that people in today's society have to label everything, and there needs to be kind of like a technical term for things. I think that's why it's there.
Technical label.
Well, why? Yeah.
I think it's just a way to describe things. It's just another way to describe things. It's more. It's almost more clinical.
Is it a way for those who are transgender or different gender to describe us?
Correct. Yeah. Okay. It's just a way to describe people.
What are the other genders? Isn't there a bunch of them now? Is there more than just cisgender, transgender?
There's quite a few different versions, I think.
Yeah, I don't have the full list.
No, it doesn't matter, Dana.
Yeah.
She says simply reducing hormone levels, the prescription most sports have adopted, does not solve the problem. She says there's different muscle structure, there's different red blood cells that men who want to become women carry from childhood, all these different things make the man more competitive, and just because the man becomes a woman doesn't mean that they're going to be womanly-like, even if they have hormone injections. And she says it's unfair. And she says that she's ready to have tough conversations now that she said this, but she knows that the transgender activist will denounce anyone who argues against them and to label them as transphobes. She says, I don't want to be a transphobe, so I'm not going to get into a heated debate with people who disagree with me because all they want to do is call me names. And she said, all I want to do is bring fairness back to sporting. She said it's gone on too far. And again, she says, I'm not a doctor, but in her months of research, this is what she's found. And all I'm going to say is, I'm so glad like someone of her status and her credibility has come out and said this, because I've said it for a long time and people think I'm crazy. This isn't kooky.
You usually are kind of crazy and kooky.
No, good for her. Good for her. I'm surprised that she was able to make this comment, honestly, because...
Why?
I thought that I don't even want to say this. I thought she passed away. I thought a few years back.
Oh, Jesus, Pete.
I thought they found her face down in Ricky Lake.
Oh, my God. Come on.
I thought I heard that one time.
You just love that joke.
Like back with the original, didn't he?
I tried to trick you up with it.
It does not die.
Yeah.
That's where it all began. Right there.
I love that joke.
Yeah.
No, but I'm good for her for coming out and doing this, because she has stature within the athletic community. And for her, who is a lesbian woman, to come down and say, hey, it's unfair. They need to fix this, because it is unfair and they do need to fix it.
I mean, what would you do with somebody like Caitlyn Jenner?
Caitlyn.
Yeah, what would you do with Caitlyn if she wanted to compete again?
But they're allowing this. It's happening in MMA.
Yeah, it's
happening.
It's currently taking place right now.
Yeah, in track, in wrestling, there's all these different people that want to compete. Mm-hmm. And it's more of a problem with the men that want to become women competing against the women because of the structure and the physiological part of it.
So do we have to have... Because, you know, there's women's MMA and men's MMA.
Yeah.
Do we need to create a transgender category instead of having them cross over? I mean, because these people, if they want to compete and they're good athletes, I don't see why they shouldn't be able to compete.
So, you know what?
I agree with that. But they won't want to do it
because then they can't compete against their current gender.
And how they associate.
Yeah, because they don't want to be segregated even more.
I say it's simple. You show up with your birth certificate. How were you born? End all, say all. It's not about how you associate. Now you're competing at a physical level. Mm-hmm. So it's not how you would identify or associate or what's going on in your head. It's how you were born. And if the birth certificate doesn't say that, I'm sorry. And again, Martina Navratilova, I don't know how much she knows about science and all that, but she says she studied it, and I agree with her. And she's a pretty progressive woman.
It makes a valid point that certainly some kind of a rule or something is going to have to come around for it, because it's not going to go away, and it's involving an industry where people make a significant amount of money.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So. And not only that, look at that, the endorsements, the kids that buy the clothing and the posters they want to hang on the wall. And I mean, it does get really tangled up if they don't figure it out.
Not to mention, we've got to stop putting people in different boxes away from everyone else is this labeling thing. I mean, it's got to be, we've got to, I know it's going to be hard with sports because it is different sexes, but we got to try to find a way to get more intermingled instead of more boxed off in separate groups.
I woke up today and I didn't even think, I'm a guy. I'm a guy. I never think about it. And then I learned today from Dana that I'm cisgender.
Yeah, you didn't realize you were a cisgender man when you woke up this morning.
So now I've been assigned a gender.
I kind of think it's cool. I'm a cisgender.
Cisgender.
That sounds kind of, robotic.
All right. For all the cisgenders, transgenders, or whatever gender you are, coming up 9 o'clock, we're going to get you into the iHeart Music Awards. Hopefully they allow cisgenders and transgenders. I think everyone can go there. Mm-hmm. 9 o'clock, Joe will give you the code word, and hopefully you can get qualified. You're going to get the 2 nights hotel. You're going to get the airfare. You're going to get ground transportation, tickets to the gig, and it should be a good time. So right at 9 o'clock, we'll give you info. 93.7, the River to Go Zeppelin with Black Dog. Dog and Joe show on a Tuesday. If I asked you guys, how much do you think the biggest YouTube star made last year? What would you say in terms of money? How much money do you think the biggest YouTube star made?
That's a good question.
And this was tallied up until the end of December. YouTube star, how much do you think he or she made?
You want me to guess first, Anna, or would you like to go?
I'll go.
Throw some numbers out there.
I think in the maybe high millions, maybe billion. I don't know. They make a lot of money.
Billion.
I think probably about 200 million.
Woo! Gosh damn. Okay. Dana's thinking somewhere around a billion. You're thinking 200 million. Not that much. What this person made last year, according to Forbes, Forbes even did this on their list. They had a list of YouTube
that alone is pretty badass.
And it's not as high as you guys thought.
Oh.
22 okay. million. Okay.
Well, 22
mil, though.
Way lower than I thought.
Yeah, but this is what makes it so exciting. That 22 million and the highest paid YouTuber went to a boy named Ryan, who is 7.
Oh, my goodness.
He's a 7-year-old boy. His name is Ryan, and he's the biggest star of YouTube for 2018. And what he does is he plays with toys.
Oh, he's that guy.
He's that little boy, and his family won't tell you what his last name is. He lives in secrecy because he gets on YouTube and he giggles and hee-hee, ha-ha. He plays with toys, and his family takes all the money, and they probably, you know, gamble it away.
Is this the family that was, like, there was a little bit of a scandal or something before with the two parents, and they were talking about how the parents were exploiting the kid? Is this the same family?
I'd imagine, but I don't know.
Yeah, okay.
They conceal his last name because they don't want people knowing who this kid is. But he started doing this in 2015. And right now, he's got 17.3 million followers.
My son is one of them.
Wow.
And your son follows this kid.
Yeah. Now that he's a little bit older, he doesn't watch him as much, but he
certainly did. Now your boy likes to watch the game stuff, yeah. Like the video game.
Yeah, but he watched him do these toys for years.
Oh, my God. Well, lots of people do. His latest video, listen to this. It's got 1.7 billion views right now. Sorry, 1.6 billion views.
Oh, my God.
And all it is little Ryan, and he's on a hunt for huge surprise eggs containing Disney cars and Paw Patrol toys that are hidden inside giant inflatable water slides. That's one video. One video's got 1.6 billion views.
I have never seen a billion in views on YouTube.
Ever. I don't know if I have either.
I have never, ever, in all of the videos I've watched, I've seen many, many hundreds of millions, but never a billion, ever.
He's got 1.6 billion views on just that one video. Like I say, he's got 17-some-odd million followers, and they say if you want to do what Ryan's doing, it's easy. First, you film yourself opening a toy, and then Ryan plays with everything from dinosaurs to Legos and Disney action figures. Then all you do is you explain the toy's features while you play with the toy, and third, you just cash your check. And then you're a millionaire. That's what it tells you here on this story. That's how Ryan has done this.
Missed opportunity. My kid was born in 2015.
Yeah. I mean, look at this.
He has taken Tom Hanks' character in the movie Big and made it applicable for 2019.
Yeah.
He's a toy player with her.
That's all he does. He's a toy player with her, and he's made all this money. And they say by time everything's done, like if he does this until he's 10 or 12, and now with this story, they say that it's not going to just double. It's going to triple his earnings, meaning he's going to come out somewhere in the $60 to $70 million range in just three more years.
Why would he stop at 10? What he's entered into right here is a lifelong career.
What do you mean lifelong career? He's going to retire before he ever steps foot into a high school.
Right now he's doing toys.
Yeah.
And he gets up into the 10 or 12 years old, he starts doing baseball bats and baseballs.
And just video games with each game.
Then he gets into teenagers, maybe he'll do clothing or video.
He'll surely never ever teach anyone how to undo a woman's bra in the back seat of a Toyota. That'll never happen because he spent his life in front of a damn computer and iPad with toys.
I'd love to make a funny joke right now, but how old is he, 7?
Yeah.
He could now if he needed to.
By the way, this is the family that was under scrutiny for
exploiting
their child. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what did they say that by having him do these videos that they say that they're putting him up to it? They say
that they're kind of like bribing the kid and that they're cashing the checks. But the parents, I believe, they put out this whole video about how they're saving the money for the kid, and they only do it when he wants to film, and blah, 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 blah.
What are you talking about? Think about all the crap you tell your kids to do.
I was just going
to
say the same thing. I mean, it probably started off like he wanted to do it, but of course they're going to have to bribe him. He's 7.
My dad, back when I was 7, my dad would say, go to your room and play, or I'll whip your ass. What do these parents say? Go to the room and play with your toys and put it on YouTube.
And tomorrow you can buy mommy and daddy a house.
Yeah.
How awful are you as a parent if you're always just buying your kid toys and, oh, can I film you playing with them? Terrible parents.
There's no exploitation in that.
Yeah.
Who complained about that? Jealous people.
Sure.
People that can't buy their kids toys.
They had these stupid kids that just want to sit there and lick their Snickers Snickers fingers or whatever, and they didn't play with the toys right. No one watched their videos.
Why does my kid eat boogers, and his kid plays with toys and makes millions?
Yeah. Things like that, you know? Yeah, my kid stuck to the wall because they were eating glue.
And yeah.
No, there's no exploitation here. Think about all the money that parents absorb and lose buying their kids toys. These parents, if in fact they did create this beast, good for them. They're genius. And you know what? If they don't want to give that kid one red cent and he just keeps all the toys they bought him,
awful.
So what?
Well, the kid's doing the heavy lifting.
That's
come
out
on.
Of control.
Who bought the camera? Who set up the YouTube channel? Who bought the toys? Who does all this?
Well, who bought the stuff? Him. The kid did. I mean,
well, not
it's
at first.
Money now, yeah.
I mean, the mom and dad might be going to the store and physically purchasing, but he's paying for, I bet he's paying electric bills. He's paying water bills.
Here's the thing they've created, though. They've created a monster because now toy companies, they've hired this kid and they pay him endorsement money because they want his face on the toy box.
I think they make those little surprise eggs with his face on them now.
Yeah, his face is on there.
Yeah,
and
I'm watching the video right now.
It's called like Ryan's Fun Ranch or whatever. They have a whole line. So when the kids walk into a toy store, which, hell, I don't even know where the kids go to find a toy store nowadays.
Well, they don't anymore.
Target.
Yeah. Well, Target. They go in there and they see little Ryan and all the kids are like, oh, I want that new toy. And so now he's making endorsement money from all the toy companies. And he says the reason people like him is because he's funny and charismatic.
You know what? I can't believe that. I was going to say the same thing. He is awesome to watch.
But what is he doing? It's spectacular.
Nothing. Well, he just doesn't brag. He's not a bragger. Mm-hmm. He doesn't seem like he's conceited or is owed anything.
I want to see this kid.
He's just a nice little kid. You don't see that anymore.
I want to see this kid get into his little playhouse, and I want to see him turn into like Floyd Mayweather, where he's sitting around with his Lego toys, and he's got stacks of cash, and he's got rap video chicks and gold chains on. I want to see him make it rain up in there, and he's drinking Cristal, and he's like, what's up, bitches? And he's got a cigar in his mouth.
That's going to happen, too.
That's funny.
They used to have like the Where Are They Now with the celebrities. This kid's going to be that kid in like 20 years.
No,
where is he now?
No, yeah. Don't say that. If he's smart, he adapts. He just keeps making these videos to all stages of life.
Yeah, how to drive a car, how to do this, how to do that, how to buy your first meal.
What's his last video? How to die.
Oh, no.
You bring it all the way up, dude.
Yeah.
All the way down. And if you do it like me, you're rich and hopefully peacefully, because I'm hoping to die in my sleep or you know whatever he's going to.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to crawl into my casket now on my 93rd birthday.
Yeah.
This is how you die with dignity.
This is my final video. It's how to die happy.
The coffin door shuts and boom, no more Ryan.
That's the end of it. He's played with his last toy.
Woo! It is really fantastic to think about the money these kids are making doing this crap. But $22 million at 7, and they say he looks to triple it by time he's a teenager.
The kid does or his parents?
Yeah.
Whoever.
Right?
Whoever. I mean, it does not even matter. And I think about this. In this crazy world, like, I can't digest all this stuff. I can't process it. We used to watch stupid commercials, and I've long bitched about it. That freaking stupid Slinky never walked downstairs.
You say that.
Oh, here we go.
It never did. And the commercial would come on, and all these kids had all these kick-ass toys, and they're doing all this stuff. You'd bring it home, and you'd put the toy on the floor, and it'd just sit there. And you're like, you try to... This kid, this is why he's rich, because he's showing you the reality of it. Screw the commercial and all the trickery. That's why I think this is stuck, because he's a real person playing with a real toy.
You ain't never seen it before.
Yeah.
That's what I think is really cool about it. You see the kids and the YouTube people that come along and they last. Like Dana was saying the other day that PewDiePie is still doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because he was one of the first.
He evolved, though. He does, like, news and stuff.
Yeah.
Now. Yeah.
And that's why. He originated on it, started the whole platform, basically was one of the first people to do it, and then learned what it takes to originate and move through it. And I'm telling you, they're innovators. They might be doing it through video games and whatever, but they're taking what's available to them now and
is anybody that this is kind of just one of those, you know what I mean, thoughts out loud. Anybody doing this with sex toys? Because I'm thinking we're wasting an immense amount of time on the after shows.
They've been doing that since the 70s. That's called porn.
No. But I mean on YouTube. Instead of us doing Instagram and stupid Facebook videos when we get done at 10:30.
Yes.
They have
the
sex toys.
To that
ones.
Is yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh. It's called YouPorn.
Yep. No, it's first one that comes up, 1.8 million views by Super Deluxe.
the cowgirl, in quotes, vibrator review sex stuff.
On YouTube.
On YouTube. 11
minute
video.
Well, we can't do that. We got to think of some sort of racket to do something on YouTube.
You better get cracking. YouTube's about done.
Nobody wants to see you do these.
YouTube's yanking YouTube videos down now from
well,
people.
Well, I think you can do these in a slightly clinical. I mean, you're not going to show anything with these toys, so I don't think that YouTube can
well,
actually take them down.
To hear.
No, no, no. I was thinking something more like we would show the, you know, the toys and like where they go and you play with them and all.
We all knew exactly what you were thinking over there, dirt ball.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hey, maybe that's what he'll get into when he's like 19 or 20.
Don't do that to Ryan.
Yeah. How to get a porn star pregnant.
Don't do
that.
Yeah,
and he does
Ryan.
The whole. I mean, he could. This guy. This
how
is good.
How to have a proper family.
Yeah.
How to buy a home. How well, to. That's what he'll be doing.
You guys have followed me through all the years. Now, for the year I've always waited for at age 25, how to sue the asses off your parents who robbed you blind as a child.
And then you start seeing the video switch and go downhill, and then he becomes a cat burglar.
Yeah.
How to creep across, you know, how to steal a Lambo through a roof vent. That'd be funny.
How to eat when you're hungry because you lost all your millions of dollars because your parents exploited you. How to smoke rock cocaine.
Oh, no.
This sandwich doesn't look
where
moldy.
Where are they now?
Yet.
I think it's fantastic, though, truthfully. I mean, $22 million. He's not even eight.
I know, man.
It's crazy.
Awesome.
Coming up at 9 o'clock, 30 minutes away, iHeart Musical Music Award Show. We'll give you the tickets. We'll give you the code word, and hopefully you can go. Here's Steve Perry on the river. Steve Perry with O'Sherry on a Tuesday. Dog and Joe Show, 9 o'clock. We'll give you those tickets to go check out, or a chance to go check out, the iHeart Music Award Festival down in Los Angeles. Joe'll give you the code word. All you got to do is text it back, and hopefully you'll go. You're going to get two nights hotel, ground transportation. You're going to get airfare, tickets to the gig, the whole deal down in Los Angeles coming up in March. A Michigan powerlifter was hailed as a hero last week after he helped a man who was pinned under a two-ton SUV.
Wow.
And this guy's a behemoth. His name's Ryan Belcher. He's 29. He's coming home from work. Okay. End of his work day. Here's a loud crash outside. He noticed that a Jeep Cherokee flipped upside down. So he rushes out. He sees the wreckage. When he got there, he found a guy trapped under the vehicle, calling out for help. He says, "When I first got there, there were about four guys there, and they were trying to move this vehicle. And I saw that nothing was happening, and I figured, wow, what better of a time for me to actually do what I do best, which is power lift.
No kidding.
So he weighs 350 pounds. He's able to squat 950 pounds and deadlift another 800 pounds. He said, "I looked at the car and I noticed I could get leverage on this vehicle and I can try to move it off the man whose lower body was still inside because the vehicle was flipped upside down and smashed against a speed limit sign."
Ooh.
So he sees the terrain. He sees what he can do. He can see all the other guys. They can't budge the car. And he's like, hmm. He walks up, squats down. Keep in mind, 950 pounds this dude's able to squat. Grabs it with his hands. Rips every ligament, muscle, and skin in his body. Picks the car up. They get the guy out. Guy lives.
Wow.
Yeah. Happened in Michigan.
Did the other people that were there have to also assist him, or did he do that car by himself?
Yeah, he said, "Hey, bro, spot me."
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Guy never misses leg day, but he saves the guy. And it doesn't say, but I'd have to imagine this is probably from all the snow they've got. So I ask you this. Think about this. 766-9370. What's the most heroic thing you've done? Huh. Most heroic thing that you've done. And again, it doesn't have to be something incredible like this Michigan power lifter. It can be something small, something big, but what's the most heroic thing? And we might tease you about heroics, but think about it. Everybody's done a little something good for someone, I think.
Oh, I would absolutely believe that people have heroic stories. Now, whether I have one,
yeah,
I don't know, but I'm sure people have done heroic things in their life.
Dana and Joe and I, you know, we've scratched our head all mornings on this, but I said, hey, the River Rockers out there, normal, average, blue-collar, white-collar, everyday go-to-work Joes and Janes have stories because people encounter so much weird stuff every day.
Those are your heroes.
Yeah.
Your heroes are normal, everyday folks that go to work or they just get caught in their daily, day-to-day routines, and they perform a heroic act, not even thinking about it. It just happens.
Yeah, the call comes, and they want to help. There was a guy last week, I forget where it was, but it was in the area. He was an older guy, wrecked his Harley Davidson. He sprawled out somewhere on I-80, I believe, and he's out there thinking, oh, my God, I'm going to die. Out of this car comes a woman nurse. She pulls him to safety, gets him out of the side of the road, tells him it's going to be okay, everything's going to, you know, be fine, take care, do this. She's checking his vital. Ambulance comes. He lives. He never got the nurse's name, and he was on TV begging for someone that had seen her or for her to come forward because he was so grateful. And she just pulled over, did what nurses do, rescues, saves the guy. They pick the guy up. He goes to the hospital, and boom. In the wind, she went.
She stayed with him until ambulance got there.
Yeah.
And that was it, huh?
And nobody thought to get her name. And
wow.
She just happened to be at the right place at the right time. And the guy just said, hey, I'm just on the news because I'm thankful to be alive and I want to thank her.
And okay, now that's extreme.
That is extreme.
You could do, I claim this to be heroic. You could climb your tree, your neighbor's tree in the front yard and save her cat.
That would be heroic.
I think that would be heroic for anyone.
Yeah.
But for me especially, because I am fearful of heights.
And any time you climb, you fall and break things.
Now, along the same lines, you could clean your elderly neighbor's gutters from atop a ladder.
Uh-huh.
For me, that would be heroic.
That'd be heroic. Okay,
because I would be doing something that I am extremely fearful of.
766-9370. We're going to do these. We're going to come back. I know River Rockers out there. I know they've had to have done something in their life that was heroic.
I just want to hear some of the cool stuff you guys have probably done.
Yeah, even the small stuff. Doesn't matter. 766-9370. We'll come.
The Dog and Joe Show. On 93.7 The River. Call the Dog and Joe Show at 916-766-9370.
All right, we asked, what's the most heroic thing, if anything, that you've done in your lifetime? We were talking about this Michigan power lifter. And again, you don't need to be a 350-pound guy that can squat 950 and deadlift 800 pounds to be a hero. It just so happens, in this case, 29-year-old Ryan Belcher was, and he lifted a Jeep Cherokee off a guy that rolled over in a snowstorm and saved his freaking life.
It's amazing, isn't it, man? I mean, you hear about those stories all the time where you get that weird strength out of nowhere.
Hulk strength.
This guy just takes it with him.
Yeah.
He's got
it
at McDonald's. He's got it saving lives. He's got it when he goes to sleep at night.
Yeah, he's a power lifter. So we asked, what heroic thing have you done? 766-9370. Brian, welcome. What's going on?
Hey, hands free, guys.
There he is.
Yes, you are, neighbor.
Woo-hoo! Okay, so I'm the delivery guy that calls every once in a while. And back in the day, I used to be a detailer, auto detailer out at Rancho Marietta. So we used to take a bicycle. I was running it over to the equestrian center, which runs right along Highway 16, Jackson Highway. What I heard was a screech, and I looked over at the road, and a little car with four doors had flipped over, like she overcorrected or something. And she had two kids in the car seats in the back of the car, and the car was upside down on the shoulder of Jackson Highway.
And hold on. You're an auto detailer, but you used to do this on a bicycle.
Well, I used to use bicycles to go pick up cars and bring them back to the detailer.
Okay, gotcha.
So that's what I was doing on the bicycle. I was headed over to the equestrian center to pick up a car, and that's what I heard. I threw the bike down. I jumped over the fence. I ran out to the highway. The woman had two kids in the car seats in the back seat that were hanging upside down. There was no smoke. There was no flames or anything happening, but she was a little bit freaked out. Another passenger had pulled over. I climbed. I opened up the door.
You mean another driver, a passerby?
Another passerby had pulled over, saw what had happened, saw my legs sticking out of the back of the car because I was upside down, unfastening the car seats. And then he came over, the gentleman came over to the side, and I was handing the two children to the guy outside of the vehicle. And then we all gathered around and walked away, and they were all good, and she had to call a tow truck to come take care of the car.
Wow, dude. Great job.
Nicely done, and the kids were okay, and everyone was okay, and then the police and fire came, and off you went.
That's what I'm talking about.
And I went and picked up the car like nothing ever happened. Just went back to work.
Awesome, wow, man.
Well, appreciate the share, Brian. See, everyday people do heroic things daily. That's cool. I like that one. 766-9370. Let's go to Kamal, if I'm saying your name right. Kamal, welcome.
Yeah, this is Kamal. How are you?
Kamal.
Good.
Hi.
Nice to meet you guys.
And you.
Well, yeah. So I had a situation about 15 years ago. I was going kayaking in Lake Natoma, and So I was just walking up on the dock getting ready to go kayaking with my friend. We have, and there's this lady, an African-American lady. She was about 50 feet away from me, and she was in the water. And she was kind of bopping up and down at the water, and she looked like she was struggling. And she was going up, taking breath, and then going back down. And I saw they were doing a class or something. And the instructor was about 4 yards away, and I was yelling at him to do something about it, and she could not hear me. And so I waited, and then she finally just went under completely. And I still had my clothes on. I jumped in there, and I got my hand underneath her armpit and pulled her back to the dock. She swam back to the dock with her. By that time, the instructor had gotten there, and she was just crying hysterically. And,
she was drowning.
In shock. Yeah, I mean, that water, I don't know if you guys have ever swam in Lake Natoma, it is freezing, so I think maybe she put me in shock or something. So.
Wow. And what kind of class was this? Was it a swim class, or was it a paddle board, or a boat? What kind of class was this?
I have no idea, but I know there were people in the water, and I just, you know, I was yelling because I saw a bunch of people. She was kind of in the back of them, and yeah. Nobody could see her. Nobody
so you saw the head bob, and you're like, oh. Whatever made you train your eyes on her, you saw her going underneath, and you saw the frantic, you know, flailing, and that's what made you say, oh, my God, she's going to drown.
Yeah, and then, you know, my friend, you know, he was kind of busting my chops a little bit. He said, we went kayaking, and, you know, I didn't stay around. You know, I felt she was embarrassed. I didn't want to be there. You know, she was crying and everything. So he said, when we come back, you should expect the reward ceremony. You know, he was busting my balls. So when I got back, I was like, well, how's that lady doing? Oh, they were like, the lady the instructor saved? I'm like, yeah, okay.
The instructor got the credit.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what are you going to do if you're the instructor? You're there to make sure your class is safe, but some other random guy that's going kayaking, like Kamal, he shows up. He's the guy that did the dirty work or the heavy lifting.
I'd say in that instructor's case, he needs to be fired because he didn't even see it. Kamal was trying to yell that people are out there, and he had to go out and save her himself.
Yeah. I appreciate that, Kamal. Thank you.
Felt amazing, man. I felt great. I was on a high for like I think a month or two. I mean, it feels good to take somebody, obviously.
I bet it would, man. That's it. Sounds cool. Hearing it.
Yeah, that is a cool little boost of adrenaline. Yeah, Let's go to Michael. Michael, welcome. Hey guys, how are you?
How you doing?
Good.
Listen, I in 2014 I was playing on stage with my band, and 2 minutes into the first song, my heart completely stopped. And I hit the floor, and luckily there was an ER nurse who works in Modesto that saw what was going on and came up on stage and did CPR for 11 minutes to save my life.
Whoa, dude.
So we've always joked about those shows that are heart-stopping, but, I mean, you guys must have really been throttling that night because you keeled over.
He delivered his own heart-stopping performance.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Two minutes into the first song, and the funny thing was, The show was being filmed, and Channel 13 did like a 3-day, you know, story on it. And I actually got together with the ER nurse, and we talked with them on television.
So she was just a fan that happened to be here to see you guys.
Yes.
And lo and behold, she sees you hit the deck. She jumps on stage. She's giving you the chest compression. She brings you back.
Yep. Well, she did compressions for 11 minutes, and when the ET, the emergency guys got there, they still had to shock me to get my heart.
They brought out the defib.
Wow!
Yeah.
Wow!
And there were two guys in the bar that said, "Oh no, he'll be fine. Let's just put him in the back of the pickup truck, and we'll take him to the hospital."
Oh yeah!
And she hit him with about every 4-letter word there was, and you know, get away from me.
Hey, I've always wondered this, because I don't know why, but I wonder about this stuff. What happens leading up to your heart just stopping? Did you ever get nauseous?
Did you ever get dizzy?
Did you ever feel tacky or clammy or sweaty? Did you feel anything, or did you just keel over instantly?
Out of breath.
I absolutely just keeled over. I didn't feel anything. I hadn't felt anything all day. I was fine, and I had just finished playing going through the lead in the track and backed up and hit the floor.
So you didn't have anxiety, you were nervous.
Oh, no.
Out of nowhere, this just happened.
Yeah, it just stopped. They say it was from the electrical impulses. One of them went one way and one of them went the other way.
Oh, from the gear.
No, from my heart. You have electrical impulses
that make his heart pump.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So do you have any heart trouble, or did you know of any condition, or do you have a condition now?
No.
It was just a weird thing, huh?
I do have it. I do have a defibrillator now, just in case it happens again.
I'm going to go buy one.
A defibrillator?
Yeah, I mean, what? Yeah,
just to have it in the house?
Yeah, I got like a little roadside kit that's got road flares and stuff in my car. I mean, why don't I have a defibrillator?
They've got car defibs.
I need one.
This one is actually implanted in my chest.
Oh, because this could happen again.
It could. It could. What if that never happens to you?
Can you just go down and get one put in so it doesn't ever happen?
Not that I'm aware of, because they're very expensive. They're about a $15,000 to $20,000 unit.
Can you put jumper cables on it?
I was just
going to
say the same thing. Can you imagine that and start up somebody else's heart like Iron Man?
Can you put some alligator clips on your nipples? Like, if you saw somebody hit the deck, you give them a boost?
Who's got cables in their car?
Who's got cables on their nipples?
Not that I'm aware of.
Oh, man, that's funny. Well, wow, that's kind of cool, man.
I'm glad you're still here, and I appreciate the share. Yeah. That's a pretty crazy story.
Boy, it really is.
Wow.
She basically was his heart for 11 minutes.
Wow.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Christina, good morning. How are you? Most heroic thing you've done. Welcome. Christina, are you with us?
Yeah, I'm still here. Sorry.
Hi.
Hi, dog and Joe.
Hi, Christina. Welcome.
So, this is a crazy story. I actually saved a baby out of a dumpster.
Oh, my gosh.
Yuck. Tell us.
Yeah, so this is when I lived in Florida, actually, and it's an apartment complex I lived in, and went outside and heard something crying, and come to find out somebody had, you know, thrown a baby into the dumpster, and I climbed in, got it out, took it out of the bag. It was still alive because it was, you know.
Hold on. You said it was in a bag?
Like a garbage bag?
Yeah, it was in actually three garbage bags.
Plastic bags.
Inside the dumpster. That's right.
Oh, my God.
So, got it out, called 911, and the EMTs or the, you know, emergency people told me what to do, said, you know, get the baby warm. You know, they asked a lot of questions, of course. They said, the baby's blue, it's cyanotic. They said, but crying. They said, good, warm her up. You know, I had to take off my shoelace and tie off the umbilical cord. And then wait for the emergency people to come, and the baby lived.
It was a newborn.
Like brand new delivered?
Brand newborn. Still had the placenta attached, yeah.
Oh, come on. Come on, dirtbags.
I can't even. I mean, oh, my God.
So they pulled over on the side of the road. They delivered a baby. They chopped the cord. They threw it in the bag. They just wanted to be done, and off they drove.
I guess, and I don't think they ever found out whose baby it was. Of course, they took my fingerprints and took fingerprints off the bag and everything. But here's the really crazy part, too, is I went to the hospital to check on the baby because, you know, obviously I was concerned, and they wouldn't let me in to see it because they said I wasn't family. Like, well, you don't even know who the family is.
Yeah, the family is the squirrel or the cat and the dog and the coyote that would have rifled through the. That's ridiculous.
She's about the closest thing to family that little kid had.
Did you try for a time? Is there any connection between you and this child?
No, absolutely not. No, it was just a crazy incident in my.
No. What he means is afterwards.
After,
like, have you ever gotten in touch?
No, I tried actually, and it's many years later, like about 15 years later, I thought, you know, I should try to find this child, and I went back to the sheriff's office, the police office, and unfortunately, they'd had a flood, and all their paper records were destroyed, and so there was no way for me to find out. I mean, they said to check the
oh, you know, man, see, here's the thing, and I don't know what you do, or how much time you have, or hobbies you have. I would think, if I were you, Christina, until the day I died, I would have to find a way to meet that boy or girl. Was it a boy or a girl?
It was a little girl.
Little girl.
Gosh.
I would do everything I could just to shake that hand or see what that baby grew into. And I know that the baby doesn't know what happened because it's been adopted or fostered or whatever. But to shake that hand and to tell that story and say, hey, I found you and I held you and here I am now at this age and here you are. I just wanted to say, congratulations, nice to meet you, and then off you go. That would kill me at night, not knowing what this person turned into. But it's Florida, so maybe it's better you don't know.
Well, I mean, it would be hard. I mean, it would be hard to not know. But she saved that human's life.
Yeah.
I mean, how did you hear that outside the house in a dumpster? I mean, that's amazing. I find that to be a miracle.
Well, I was actually walking to the dumpster to take some trash out. And so,
I'm sorry. I missed that part.
yeah, you know, you hear the sound and you're just thinking, wow, that doesn't sound right to me, you know, and then, and luckily they had dumped our, you know, it was one of those big dumpsters you have in an apartment complex, and so they had dumped it recently, so it didn't have a lot of
So it wasn't all oh, man.
Right, and so I stuck my head in there and thought, that sounds really strange, and then I saw, you know, the bag and thought, no, this can't be, and I couldn't stop. You know, I had to get in there and get it out. Like, I couldn't just leave it be.
Oh, no way, yeah, there's no way you could at that point.
How good did you feel after you knew she was okay?
God,
and, I mean, you must have just been on a totally different planet or cloud. That had to be awesome.
A total high. It's like the guy with the, you know, the drowning story. I mean, for like a month. I mean, you can't, the endorphins are just surging. You feel
so
awesome. God.
And you see something like that in a dumpster? I bet every time you walk by a dumpster, you see trash. You think about that daily.
Oh, yes. You definitely listen harder, that's for sure.
Christina, you're amazing. That's very heroic. That right there is cool.
What a great story. Thank you so much for that.
That is cool. Let's go to Kay. Kay, good morning.
Hey, Kay.
Good morning. Yeah, well, mine isn't, like, so sad like those. Mine's kind of funny, but...
Okay, Kay.
Yeah. Okay, well, my little brother was, like, 15 months younger than me, and then I have two older siblings, one... We're stair-step, four of us. And my
what does that mean?
Little brother, well, my sister is 13 months older than me. My brother is 13 months older than
her. Oh, I got you.
Her,
okay.
And my little brother was 15 months younger than me. Well, he got short man syndrome or something. He was really, really small. Like, when he was in second grade, the sixth graders would carry him around like a baby.
Wonder if that's what I have. What'd you call that syndrome?
Short man syndrome.
Yeah. And so, anyhow, so he got picked on, you know, by other...
He was bullied.
And, right. He was, but not when I was around, because I'd go beat him up for him. I beat up all the people that ever bullied him. So that the bullying stopped, because I rescued him.
She rescued her big brother. Or her
little brother.
Yes. Instead of having a big brother come to the rescue, she took care of him.
What did you rescue him from, though? I mean, just normal playground shenanigans?
No, like, we walked to him from school all the time, which was a little ways. And there was especially one kid that lived, like, I think he was, like, two blocks away from
us. So you just, anytime anyone would mess with him, you'd help him out?
Yeah.
Okay, that's pretty rough.
Sounds like he had it a little bit rougher than you did. I mean, did you have sixth graders carrying you around like a baby when you were in second grade?
No.
This guy sounds like he's a little fella.
What you did, Kate, is not called heroic. What that's called is being a sibling.
Well, it's heroic to him.
And obviously to her. Thank you, Kate.
I've never been carried around by another man like a baby, but I don't think I'd enjoy it.
766-9370. Dana, anything for you as we go through this? Have you ever been a part of anything heroic before we close up?
No, not really.
You haven't ever seen anything or thwarted any crimes or come across anything that was in
nefarious?
Need?
Nefarious, no. I would, if there was anything that happened with a child in front of me, absolutely I'd step in. But other than that, like, there's situations where I, as a girl, I'm not going to, like, pull over my car and help somebody because I probably can't do anything, or I just don't want to put myself in a weird situation.
I bet that happens a lot.
You know what, though? That's smart. There's so many people out there that are doing, like, little, you know, what do you call it? Little charades, and they're doing scams, and you pull over, and it looks like something. You get out and help. Next thing you know, you're robbed.
Right.
Yeah, well, there was, back in the 70s, a serial killer who used to, this is like college co-eds, but he would...
I have to ask this, Dan, before you share the story. How would you know?
Because I watched this show called Making a Murder.
Cool thing called The News.
And it's based, and I did research on the guy because he's a real person. And he used to feign that he was having car trouble and needed to be hit. Like, he'd hitchhike and then he'd kill these girls.
Oh, yeah. The Hitcher?
I don't remember what his name is, but that kind of stuff just kind of like hangs in the back of your mind if you're a girl.
So nothing for you, and you try to avoid that stuff just out of fear of that guy
that
or things like that.
That particular situation, like cars pulled over on the side of the road, won't stop and help. But if I saw a kid in need, like if they were drowning like a lot of these people are saying, I would absolutely jump in.
We watched that video today. It's all over the news. That little girl that got hit by the car.
Oh my God, yeah.
And the car took off, and that little girl flew like 20 or 30 feet in the air and hit other cars, and her mom are on TV now, and the daughter's just fine.
Oh, and that's good.
It's crazy to see that.
Yeah. Oh, my God. To see that little girl being hit by the front of that car. Yeah. She just flies through the air. It's awful.
Man, there's just, and she didn't have long pants on. They had shorts. And, I mean, she just hit the asphalt.
Flung. Joe, anything heroic from you that you've done today?
I'm not a hero. I don't know even know if I have a heroic bone in my body. I would love to stop and help folks out anytime I could, but I don't find myself put in heroic situations ever, really.
Well, why do you think that is? Do you look for opportunities to help, or do you just think that
I just kind of go about my day.
Do you think there's a higher power that doesn't put tragedy in front of you because you couldn't help?
That right there.
You have to leave your house, too.
Yep. There's also a solid point she makes. You got to go out into the world.
Yeah. Hey, make sure if something horrible happens, Joe's not nearby, because what he's going to do is either make it worse or not be able to fix it.
Yeah, make it worse.
Yeah.
How about you? Either of you?
No, just
that. Stay alive, or?
No. One time I was taking a shower, it's summertime, and I hear someone saying, "Help!" I'm like, what?
From where?
Well, I'm in the shower, and like kids used to do, like in the 80s and stuff, you'd always have like a boombox in the bathroom, you know, and you'd listen to like Van Halen, and yeah, you're washing stuff.
In the 80s?
Oh, yeah, you're washing stuff real good, you know, and you're like, no one's home, and I'm like really getting clean, if you follow.
God.
Oh, boy.
That's sick. Gross. I was going a whole other route with the music, and you're going there, you dirtball.
And I think I was listening to Is This Love.
Sure you were.
And anyway, I got the radio on, and I hear this. Help. I hear this, and I'm like, what? So I get out, and I'm soaking wet, and I turn the radio off. And I don't hear anything. I'm like, what the hell? I turn the radio back on. I get in there, and then I hear, help!
Louder?
Yeah, and I'm like, what the freak? So I get out again, and I turn the radio down. I'm standing there naked, and I hear this again, and I'm like, what the hell? And I listen to the window, so then I run in my bedroom. No one's home. And I throw some clothes on, and I run out in the street, and I don't hear it for a while. And then I hear, help!
What in the world?
So I go next door, and this old woman directly next door to my parents' house. She's halfway in the entryway of the house and on the porch, and she's got the door open. She's laying down. So I run over there, and she had fallen down, and she needed her nitroglycerin tablets.
Oh.
So I had to walk in her back bedroom that was creepy. She had all these different TV trays with all this medication on it.
How did she tell you how to get them? Could she speak and whatever?
Yeah, she was talking. She told me where to go and what the bottle looked like, and I walked in there. It looked like a freaking pharmacy.
Oh.
There's all these hoses and tubes and like looked like a hospital bed, and it was all weird and stinky, and I grabbed them, and then I gave her pill, and then she told me to go in the kitchen and get the phone, and her son came home, and the ambulance came, and that was it.
Wow.
So, I mean, it wasn't like spectacular. She was just laying in the doorway. She had tripped or whatever.
Heck, you saved her life.
And here's the creepy thing.
You saved that woman's life.
That neighbor and his mom lived there for like 8, 7, 8, 10 years. I never knew that an old woman lived there. That's what was creepy about it. And Dana, you talk about pulling your car over because you're like, what the hell? I looked at that old lady and I was like, who are you? It was so bizarre because we just thought that guy lived alone. We didn't know that his mom was there.
She was just thought never came outside, I
she
guess,
was too
huh?
sick.
Oh, my goodness.
So, I mean, that's it. And that was no big deal. I gave her a pill and then she lived.
Did you fix her immediately?
I guess she felt better. She was conscious and all that. She was talking to me. She just couldn't get up, and she was hanging on the doorknob. And you know, she was a pretty big woman. She had a big muumuu on, and her old lady slippers and all that, and her curlers.
I can't even imagine being a teenager and having to walk into that, though.
Oh, I didn't want to.
Wow.
I just got out of the shower, and I was all clean, and I was like, ugh, God, I don't want to go in this house and touch all this stuff.
Oh, my gosh.
And it smelled all old and musty, and it was just... But
I can't even imagine what it would smell like if a person never leaves the house. My goodness.
Yeah. And I think I did after I went back home. I think I cranked the boombox up, started some more music, got back in the shower. I had to.
You wash it back off.
Yeah. Oh, hang on, Joe. We got to do the code word right now. We got to give away your chance. We call, almost forgot about this.
Yeah, good call, man.
Yeah, the iHeart Music Awards. It almost escaped us.
We got right now your chance to win a trip to the iHeart Music Awards. Woo! All you got to do is text our nationwide keyword. Nationwide keyword today is zebra. Z-E-B-R-A to 200-200. Zebra. Z-E-B-R-A to 200-200. What you're going to get is a confirmation text and info. Remember, standard data and message rates apply. And it's a national contest, so keep that in mind as well.
Yeah, you're going to get the two nights, you're going to get the hotel, you're going to get the airfare, you're going to get the ground transportation, everything included. It's for you and a guest to go down and check this out Thursday night in L.A., March 14th. So good luck. Here's the Bon Jovi, On the River. Scream. think it was Pink Floyd, Money, 93 Minutes, Nonstop, Commercial Free, Dog and Joe Show. We are done. Don't forget today, 1 o'clock, 5 o'clock, more chances. We'll give you the code word. Hopefully, you'll get tickets to go down and check out the iHeart Music Award Show. It's going on down in Los Angeles. You're going to get the airfare. You're going to get the hotel. You're going to get ground trans, all that stuff. So 1 o'clock, 5 o'clock, your next chances if you want to get hooked up. Producer Dana, are we good to go today for the taste test between Coke and Pepsi or the Cola Challenge?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Are you sleepy today, young lady?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to calculate.
She had a little bit of a hard weekend, didn't she?
Joe and Dana don't think that I can tell the difference between the three or four or five different sodas, but easily we can, so we'll do a quick little Tuesday video of that. It'll be exciting.
Oh, I can't wait. Yeah. I know that you're going to fake it. Somehow you'll get it right.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. Well, like last time, we'll just put a blindfold on me and I'll cut holes in the ice.
Yeah, or see underneath of it or whatever you trickery you pull.
Yeah. So join us for that. Monica Lowe, she's coming in next. And back tomorrow, Lick Us and Win Wednesday, we've got Foreigner tickets out of Thunder Valley. So join us for Lick Us and Win.
Thank you guys very much for hanging out with us today, man. Have a great afternoon and we will talk to you tomorrow. Play nice.